Recording official.
Recording in progress.
Morning, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's start our meeting. 2 minutes past nine. Can we bow our heads where we are? For a second. Amen. Thank you very much, honorable members. I wish to welcome everybody, the honorable members and the officials in the meeting. I'm not sure whether the minister has joined, but if she has joined, I wish also to acknowledge her presence. I know for a fact that the DM is still not fine for attending the meeting, as we have wished all the best at all times for her to get well soon. Honorable members, it's Father's today. We haven't made any meeting. We know that we wanted this meeting to be physically, but it couldn't materialize for it. Then, of course, we will be doing what we were going to be doing when it was going to be physical. So let's proceed with the meeting. Everybody in the meeting is welcomed. Can we get the confirmation of the attendance, Lindy?
Good morning, Chairperson, and members and officials and stakeholders that are with us. Chair, I wish to confirm the following members that are with us. Member Vana as the chairperson of this committee. I have member Bilankulu. I have member Iris. I have member Abrahams. I have member Mare. I have member Stock. I have member Masango. I don't see any other member that I might be omitted. Chair, apologies. I have an apology from Member Sukars, who is unable to attend today's meeting due to prior commitments. Another apology is from Member Father Merve, who will join the meeting a bit late because she's traveling to her office. Another apology, Chair, is from the Minister. The Minister is in Pretoria. She's attending the ECD launch. Today is the 1st of April. So she won't be with us today. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay. I'm sure, yeah, the launch is clashing with us, our meeting. So really, we couldn't make it. Thank you very much for those confirmations. From the side of the officials, we usually not have time for it, but we know that when a person is going to make input, she's going to introduce herself by that time. And is the age acting DG present with us, Lindy?
No, Chair, I think he also attended the launch, but there is Sendaba. I think he's been deployed to represent the department.
All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Sendaba. You know that you are acting, so we are going to give you. Can you fly to the agenda, Lindy?
Okay, Chair.
Do we have any stakeholders that have joined us?
Yes, Chair, there are a number of stakeholders.
Is it? Oh, I really apologize. Sincerely apologize for not acknowledging them.
They always attend our meeting.
Okay, thank you very much, Lindy, for that. You are also welcome, stakeholders that have joined us. There is our agenda. Confirmation of attendance, we are done with it. then apologies, we are done. Only we have to give the department to forward. Otherwise, the minister's apology has been noted. And also the acting DG. Mr. Ndaba, over to you if you've got any apologies.
Sorry, Chair.
Yes.
Chair, this is Honorable Marie speaking now, from Mr. Marie. I just want to say to you that it is raining over us. I've been in, I've been kicked out again, I'm in again. Just be aware that me and Honorable Aris, we are locked in, but it seems like we're going to have some challenges. Just be aware of that. But we are in now. In case they kicked us out, then you know that we are in the meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. Thank you very much for informing us about your reign in whatever area that you are. We wish you all the best. Those are the blessings. Reign is blessings. Thanks, Honorable Paul Nitt. Can we give over to acting, Mr. Ndaba? Forward to the apologies that you have.
Aimbo.
Agap.
I can't see because I'm lighting something.
Honorable Chairperson, I'm not sure if I'm can you hear me, Chair?
Yes, we hear you.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm sorry for that. I am here with the entire team, save for Isabella, who's attending the launch. Otherwise, the rest of us are here. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Mr. Mchochisa is in the Eastern Cape, but he has connected from the Eastern Cape.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Ndaba. Let's note all the apologies that have been put forward. Then let's go to the agenda, the adoption. Yes.
I move for the adoption of the agenda.
As it is.
Honorable Bilankulu.
Yes, thank you, Honorable Kate Bilankulu. She has adopted the agenda as it is. And second?
Anastasia Patel.
Anastasia Mutawung, Honorable Anastasia.
Second.
The adoption. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Then if we are not wasting time, we can go straight to the legal advisor. You know, Honorable Members, today we haven't, in fact, we have not to waste time, but to focus on what is supposed to happen out of the court judgment, the Gauteng ones that were given. We have definitely to be focused. The meeting must focus also as to finish what we have been given a process or a mandate to do. I would appeal to honorable members not to waste time. Much as we are going to deal with clause by clause, which is very necessary for us, but we have to be focused. We were given a court judgment and were given a specific things to do or an item to concentrate and consider it. We requested an extension. We couldn't make it. We also requested the other one. Now, for the third time, we can't request an extension because of our delaying tactics or our delaying processes. We have to be focused today, looking at the court judgment that was given to us. But for us to be advised by our legal advisor, Mr. Mtsangana is with us, honorable members. He must also remind us what was the court judgment was saying to do and look at the bill for us. Over to you, Mr. Mtsangana.
Good morning, Chairperson, to yourself and to honorable members and my colleagues and guests of the committee. Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to the committee today about this matter, which is quite contentious, as you've already alluded to. Chair, just by way of background, the amendment process which the committee is engaged on, Chairperson, is slightly different from the ordinary course of events that the committee would engage on amendment of legislation as a day-to-day function of the committee. The committee is essentially involved in this amendment of the Children's Act, Chairperson, in this bill or through this bill in response to a court judgment, as you've already alluded to, Chair. So it is really not a matter of the committee engaging voluntarily on this amendment process of its own volition, but it is influenced by a court judgment which directed Chairperson the committee to go into the legislation and specifically make amendments. Those amendments, Chairperson, were in the directed the judgment in the Center for Child Law against the Minister. In that decision, Chair, the essence of that judgment is that there must be extensive provision in the Children's Act for the regulation or management of foster care. So that generally, Chairperson, was the essence of the decision which directed this process or culminated into this process of the amendment of the Children's Act. Chair, ordinarily in the amendment of legislation, there are other issues, contentious and of public interest, which arise during consultation, Chairperson, which of course also need amendment in the ordinary course of events. However, Chairperson, as I mentioned, in this amendment process, the committee is responding to a court judgment and therefore is working within a truncated time period. It's not a matter where the committee will get to the end of the amendment process as and when it does. As you've mentioned, Chairperson, there's already been two approaches to the courts to go and seek indulgence of the court because the committee could not finalize the amendment process within the time that the court had directed. As a result of which, Chairperson, in the second approach to the court for extension, the court appropriated itself the right to oversee the work of the committee, such that the department must from time to time inform the court of the progress that is being made in the amendment of the Children's Act to provide specifically for the management or regulation of foster care specifically, Chair. So, Chair, that is essentially what the committee is engaged with. There are other issues, Chairs, I've mentioned, which have come from public consultation, contentious matters and also matters of public interest, Chairperson, which might need a lot more time than the committee has in order for it to comply with this judgment. Just to also remind members of the committee, Chairperson, that the committee has already taken a stance that it seeks to comply with the court judgment. This was the stance the committee took as it related to those clauses in the bill as introduced, which dealt with the matters of early childhood development. The attitude of the committee was as early on that we are not going to deal with matters which are contentious, matters which are not necessarily in line with what we are trying to achieve as a committee, which is complying with the court judgment, as I've mentioned. So, Chairperson, that is just the opening remarks around the work that must be done or that is to be done by the committee. Naturally, Chair, during the deliberative stage, which the committee is to go into now during the clause by clause, and particularly because of the extensive public consultation which the committee embarked upon in line with the requirements of the Constitutional Court decision in the Doctors for Life judgment, there is going to be, Chair, a possibility of derailing into other aspects relating to children and the regulation of affairs relating to children, Chair. But, Chair, members, I just reminded, Chair, through you, that the focus really in this amendment process should be that of forced management and regulation of foster care in order to comply with the judgment. So that essentially, Chairperson, are the comments that I thought I would make to emphasize what you've already spoken to, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Njena. I think I also appreciate your reminder so as to be able to be focused, honorable members. It doesn't mean that, as Mr. Njena is saying, that we can't be looking at other contentious issues, but we can deal with them later on. There will be time for us to deal with other matters. Now, for the response of the court order, we have to be focused on the foster care as the court has requested us to do. I wanted to emphasize today. That means we will be able to make the time frames or the due date or the due time that has been put by the court, rather than to request apologies and request extension after extension, which sometimes take us back to court. It's waste of time, waste of everything, and waste of energy. Let's try and fast track this one, only of the foster care. Okay, who's going to present clause by clause? Mr. Njena, is it you?
Chairperson, if it is your direction that I should take the committee through the clause by clause, Chair, I am much obliged, Chair.
Okay.
Yes, Chair.
Allow you to do.
Yes, Chair. Thank you very much. So, Chair, the process of clause by clause, just by way of reminder, is that members will have before them the bill, which is currently being considered by the committee. They will also have the matrix of responses from the Department of Social Development, as well as the public participation report, which is the report of the extensive public participation that the committee embarked upon, Chairperson, during consultation. So all those three documents, Chairperson, will serve as reference documents as we are going through clause by clause. Chair, this stage, as I've mentioned, Chair, is the deliberative stage of the committee, where I will read into the record of the committee the clause that is being considered. And then, Chairperson, through you, you allow the committee to deliberate on that clause. And where the committee adopts the clause, then its clause will be adopted as is. But where the committee requires us to go and do an amendment to that clause, we will then note the committee amendments through the process called the A list, which is essentially just a list of what the committee is proposing as amendments in the legislation. We will then go away, Chair, and go and craft that A list and come back to present it to the committee so that the committee can consider to see if indeed it reflects what the committee had directed us to do as legal advisors and drafters, Chair. It's just a sound, Chair. I don't know if you can still hear me clearly.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Yes, thank you, Chair. So we will then, after Chair having gone back with the adopted A list, go and do the B version of the bill, which is essentially the bill now incorporating all of those amendments that will have come from this deliberative stage, Chairperson. So that is just the process explained upfront, Chairperson, of what we're going to be engaged in now. So the last thing I want to mention, Chairperson, is that the long title, which is the bold words under in page 2 of the bill, the bold words under the bolded word bill, will be read last, Chairperson, after we have read the clauses in the bill and after the committee has deliberated on those clauses and taken a position on them. We will then read finally the long title to see if it reflects everything else that the committee will have deliberated on during the clause by clause. And therefore, Chairperson, I proceed to go and read the first amendment clause in the bill. It reads as follows, Chairperson. It's amendment of section 1 of Act 38 of 2005, as amended by section 3 of Act 41 of 2007,
1348 of the Act of Act 7 of 2013, Section 1 of Act 17 of 2016, and Section 1 of Act 18 of 2016. The clause chair reads as follows. Section 1 of the Children's Act 2005, hereinafter referred to as the Principal Act, is hereby amended. A. By the substitution for the definition of abandoned of the following definition. So, Chair, once again, which is a note that to be a general explanatory note that I think I omitted to mention. Those words which are underlined, Chair, and in bold, with a solid line, indicate the new insertion. And the words that are put in square brackets indicate the words that must be omitted from the legislation. So I just thought I would quickly mention that, Chair, and I forgot, my apologies. So I continue here again to start to read the clause one, which is...
Mr. Mchana.
Yes, Chair?
Can't you flight what you are talking about?
Yes, we most certainly can, Chair. I'm going to ask my colleague to put it on the screen.
Please. That's
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we were just finishing section one.
Section one.
Children Act of 2005, yes.
Yes.
And then the ones that have been pulled, abandoned child. Okay, continue. I'm able to follow you.
Yes, so just for the purpose of the record, Chair, we'll refer to the sections in the bill as clauses, and then the sections will be sections in the Principal Act. So the clause one of the bill reads as follows. Section one of the Children's Act 2005, hereinafter is referred to as the Principal Act, is hereby amended. A, by the substitution for the definition of abandoned of the following definition. Abandoned child means a child, so in those square brackets we omit, as I've mentioned, Chair. Means a child who, A, has been deserted by a parent, comma, guardian or caregiver, semicolon, B, for no apparent reason, comma, had no contact with the parent, comma, guardian or caregiver for a period of at least 3 months, semicolon, or C, has no knowledge as to the whereabouts of the parent, comma, guardian or caregiver, and such information cannot be ascertained by the relevant authorities. B, by the substitution for the definition of adoption service of the following definition. Adoption service includes A, counseling of a parent or guardian of the child and, comma, where applicable, comma, the child. B, the assessment of a child by an adoption social worker in terms of section 230, subsection 2. C, an assessment of a prospective adoptive parent by an adoption social worker in terms of section 231, subsection 2. D, the gathering of information for a proposed adoption and contempt as contemplated in section 237. E, a report contemplated in section 239(1)(b). And F, after care provided to the adoptive family. C, by the substitution for the definition of aftercare of the following definition. Aftercare means the supportive service provided by social worker or social auxiliary worker or social service practitioner responsible for adoption services, comma, to monitor progress with regard to the child's development adjustment as part of A, family preservation or reunification services, B, adoption or placement in alternative care, or C, discharge from alternative care. D, by the substitution for paragraph A in definition of care of the following paragraph. A, within available means, comma, provided the child with a place to live, two, living conditions that are conducive to the child's health, well-being and development, and three, the necessary financial support. E, by the deletion of paragraph E of the definition of caregiver. F, by the deletion of definition of circumcision. G, by the substitution for the definition of clerk of the court of the following definition. Clerk of the court means clerk of the children's court appointed or designated as such, either in terms of section 67 of the Act or in section 13 of the Magistrates Court Act of 1944. H, by the substitution for the definition of cluster foster care scheme of the following definition. Cluster foster care scheme means a scheme provided for the reception of children in foster care, managed and operated by a designated child protection organization or the provincial development of the Department of Social Development and registered by the provincial head of social development for this purpose. I, by the deletion of the definition of divorce court. J, by the insertion after the definition of drop-in center for the following of the following definition. Early childhood development center means a center that provides an early childhood development program as contemplated in section 91, subsection 3, for more than 6 children from birth to school going age. K, by the substitution for the definition of early childhood development services of the following definition. Early childhood development service means a service or support provided to children from birth to school going age, or a service or support provided to a child's parents, guardian or caregiver, with the intention to promote the child's emotional, cognitive, sensory, spiritual, moral, physical, social and communication development. KL. L, by the insertion after the definition of family advocate of the following definition. Family counselor means a family counselor appointed in terms of the Mediation in Certain Divorce Matters Act of 1987. M, by the substitution of the following, by the substitution for the definition of genital mutilation of the following definition. Genital mutilation means a procedure performed by a non-medical, for non-medical reasons that has no health benefit and intentionally, A, causes injury to genitals, B, removes any part of the genitals, semicolon, or C, alters genital organs. N, by the insertion of the definition of higher education of the following definition, inter-country adoption. Inter-country adoption means the placement, for the purpose of adoption, of a child habitually resident in one country in the permanent care of a person habitually resident in another country in accordance with the Hague Convention on Protection of Children and Cooperation in respect of inter-country adoption and the provisions of this act. O, by the substitution for definition of midwife of the following definition. Midwife means a person registered as a midwife under the Nursing Act of 2005. P, by the substitution for the definition of nurse of the following definition. Nurse means a person registered as a nurse under the Nursing Act of 2005. Q, by the substitution for the definition of orphan of the following definition. Orphan means a child whose parent or both parents are deceased. R, by the substitution for paragraph E of the definition of party of the following paragraph. E, the department, provincial department of social development or the designated child protection organization managing the case of the child, semicolon, or S, by the insertion after the definition of RACAP, the acronym RACAP, of the following definition. Regional courts means a court for any regional division as contemplated in the Matters Court Act of 1944. T, by the insertion after the definition of secure care of the following definition. Separated migrant child means a child who is not a citizen of the Republic and who has been separated from both parents from previous legal or customary caregivers, but not necessarily from other adult family members, include a child accompanied by an adult family member. U, by the substitution for the definition of sexual abuse of the following definition. Sexual abuse in relation to a child means any sexual offense against a child. V, by the definition of sexual offense of the following definition. Social service practitioner means any person registered in a social service profession or occupation with the South African Council of Social Service Profession as contemplated in the Social Services Profession Act of 1978 to practice and render a service within the social service sector. W, by the deletion of the definition of social service professional, X, But the substitution of the definition of temporary state care of the following definition. Temporary state care means the means care of a child in an approved and registered child in an approved and registered child in your care center, or in the care of approved person, including the cases contemplated in section 167, subsection 3, where the child can safely be accommodated pending a decision or court order concerning the placement of the child, but excludes care of a child in a prison or police cell. Why? By the insertion under the definition of traditional authority of the following definition. Unaccompanied migrant child. Unaccompanied migrant child means a child who is not a citizen of the Republic of South Africa and who has been separated from both parents or other adult family members and is not being cared for by any adult who, by law or custom, is responsible for doing so. And that by the substitution for subsection 4 of the following subsection. 4. Any proceedings arising out of this of the application of the Divorce Act, the Maintenance Act, the Domestic Violence Act, 1998, the Civil Union Act of 2006, and the Recognition of Customary Marriages Act of 1998, is insofar as this act relates to children, may not be dealt with in a children's court. Chairperson, that is what clause 1 of the bill provides for. Chairperson, it's those definitions and the insertions as I've read them. Chairperson, thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Let's look at the honorable members, what are they saying on this clause? Honorable Bridget Masango.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to Mr. Mdinani for the presentation of the clause. I just have a question of clarity as to because Mr. Mdinani did refer to the matrix that was a response from the department to the national and provincial hearings. Now, those clauses that have been amended and the department supported the amendments by the organizations and the individuals that submitted their proposed amendments, are they now going to be incorporated into the bill? When is that going to happen? Do we have to go one by one and say that, for example, the South African Council for Social Service Professionals said, in section 1BV, must be reviewed to include valid registration certificate to read social service practitioner or something like that. I just would like, a process-wise, how is this going to happen, that at least the amendments that were proposed and supported by the department are going to reflect on the bill hereafter? That is the clarity I would like to seek, please. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. I see Honorable Stocksend is up. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me also appreciate the presentation, which was just presented to us by Advocate Mjengana, in terms of the legal perspective regarding the clause by clause. Chairperson, I would like to formally move a proposal in line with what you actually indicated in your opening remarks, that based on the Gauteng High Court decision, we must be able to pay specific attention and our focus must be on certain issues regarding to the bill. And also, as highlighted also in the legal advice by Mr. Mjengana, I would like to formally move that we actually, as a portfolio committee, we deal and concentrate on those issues. And then the contentious issues which were actually highlighted in the presentation of the department, which was made by us, which was actually needing more time for us as the portfolio committee to go through, which are actually going to delay us to take forward the bill, which are also not going to make sure, because if we have to focus on those issues, it means we will not be able to meet the deadline. So I would like to formally move that we go in line with the legal advice given to us by Advocate Njengan, that we need to focus and concentrate on the issues highlighted by the court. There's a proposal that I want to make. But also, I would like to support all the issues that were raised by the department in terms of additions, in terms of the clause by clause. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Stock. I think Honorable Masango is a little bit clearer now on how we are going to proceed with this clause by clause and also submissions by the stakeholders and NGOs. You're not. Okay, over to you on Advocating
Chair, there's Member Mutaung, hands is up.
Okay. Anastasia?
Chair, I was supporting Whip Dekhang about the issues that raised by the court. So if we can go with that line of the court. Thank you, Chair. I was supporting what Comrade Dekhang was saying.
Okay, thank you very much for that. We've taken note of it, but let's allow Advocate Njengane to respond on what, but the procedure and the process has been outlined by these two honorable members. Over to you, Professor.
No, thank you very much.
First, Advocate Njengane, is that we go straight to the ones that the court judgment has given us to do, and then we go by line by line or clause by clause or section by section, whatever. Then we come later on with other ones. But let's answer Honorable Masal. Thanks. Over to you.
No, thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I just want to say that every message, this stage that we're engaging now is a deliberative stage where the committee must consider the bill as introduced, which is the proposal from the department. It must also consider the public participation report, which is the public attitude towards the bill as introduced, what the public is saying. And the committee also considers the responses from the department from what the input of the public is. So, Chairperson, all of these things are informative to the work of the committee. They are not binding on the committee. The committee now is at a stage where it owns the bill. And therefore, the committee, whatever decision that it makes with respect to each of those sections that are being considered, clauses that have been considered, the committee's decision then becomes final. So that's essentially the first explanation, Chair, that the committee can make whatever decision it seeks to make now in terms of the role, or how it seeks to it wants to proceed with the legislation. So if it is in the committee's view that it wants to take all of those other issues which are ancillary to the issue of foster care in the bill and keep them in a bias to build them separately from this process, that would be the committee's decision, Chair. The committee would have to deliberate on that and decide on it. However, if it is also the committee's view that those issues which are already admitted and agreed to between the public and the department, and that the committee also supports, the committee will have to deliberate on it and adopt that as a position of committee. And then us as legal advisors would advise on from the drafting perspective. For instance, the issue of a valid certificate, Chair, from a drafting perspective, a certificate is a certificate, and in law, a certificate for it to be binding in law, it must be a valid certificate. So for drafting purposes, saying that the certificate must be a valid certificate to describe it, Chairperson, as a descriptor, doesn't essentially add any value because consequence of the law, that a certificate in law must be a valid certificate if it's provided for in law. So in those aspects, we can advise from a drafting perspective. But from a decision-making perspective, the committee would have to apply itself to this information as before it now and make a decision about how. So for instance, certain clauses that I've read in section one, which are being amended as definitions, the committee is of the view that there is a definition there that it seeks advice on. We would advise from a drafting perspective. But the committee would have to tell on whether it thinks that it wants to adopt the whole, in its wisdom, it wants to adopt the whole section one as is, or the aspects of the section one, as I've read it, that it seeks us to amend. In which case, then we'll start developing the list of amendments. Thank you, Chair. I hope that explanation was clear.
Okay, Advocate. I think it's more clearer as it is being explained. Can we then, we are on clause one, eh? We were dealing with clause one. Advocate Njemani has explained it. What are the committee members saying about that one? Because he has finished explaining it. What is abandoned child means? Okay, what is the abandoned child means? And what are we supposed to do with an abandoned child? Aris. Honorable Aris.
Yes, thank you. Morning, Chair. Thank you very much, Chair. You know what? I was just saying to myself, to do this clause by clause virtually, it is an extremely difficult. This clause by clause, even though we have agreed that we will focus on the foster care, issue now, it is not as easy to do it on the virtual than to do it, with a physical sitting. I'm just raising my concern, and I'm not sure if we will give justice to this bill that we are busy with.
Okay, guys, which we dealt about that because there was nothing that we could do. All of us wished to have a physical meeting on this thing, but circumstances that we know that we don't have venues, and we were told that hybrid is not in the offices, the one that is Good Hope, and we only using the chair, the committee rooms. It was explained by Lindy. For now, we can't be able to use the physical. I don't know, because I've requested us not to request extensions by extension. For this one that has been given by the court order, we must be finished with it. Even if we are saying, okay, we'll come later with a particular one, we'll come later with another one, because there won't be a justice, as you are saying, and there's lots and lots of clauses that we have to deal with them one by one. But we cannot say, today, we are not going to use Friday today as a virtual. So I appeal to you, honorable members, to be very patient on this, because it's circumstances that are beyond us that causes us not to be able to be physical.
Hello, Chair.
Hello, Jay.
Yeah, I'm supporting. I'm saying, we must not gallop the way we are galloping, because we are on virtual and then we are watching the screen. We don't have it in the issue that the advocate Kanyani is saying. We mustn't be in a hurry like that, because we are reading words by words through the screen. Thank you.
Yes, Honorable Jane, that is exactly why I requested Advocate Njemani to flight whatever that he is talking about through the screen. The screen is able to tell us what is it that he is presenting. And if we want her to go back to a section or to a line, a particular line, we can say so.
Chair, my hands up.
Over to you.
So Chairperson, I also would just like to get clarity on what Honorable Masango said, because I don't think the reply was clear enough for me as well. So I would like to use another example, Chairperson. I'm sitting with my bill on my one side and I'm sitting with the matrix document on the other side. And now if I've turned to page 2 of the matrix, Chairperson, one of the definitions and in the last column goes new definition of informal caregiver, a person who provides care to a child informally. If parliamentary committee is in agreement, some may be added. So again, Chairperson, I'm still unclear if we are just going to be looking at the bill as is, or when do we start incorporating the matrix? And do we have to do that part simultaneously? Do we incorporate the matrix while we're busy with the clause by clause, or will everything in the matrix then be looked at afterwards? Because right now I'm sitting with two documents and I'm still unclear as to, you know, when are we moving to the matrix and when we move to the bill. So I also support Honorable Aris that this is very, very challenging on virtual. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairman, okay. Just explain again, it's Nati, it's the legal advisor.
Hmm?
May I just it's Chairman, the legal advisor, Chair.
The other name is Nat.
My first name, Jay, is Nat.
Okay. Over to you. Explain.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the matrix, as I was saying, the matrix is informative. So the matrix, as you look at it, you'll see that it provides for the original clause. It provides what the public has recommended. And then it provides for DSD's response to it. So the matrix must be considered as we consider the bill, Chair, so that the committee decides whether it takes the clause or it doesn't take the clause. The warning we were giving about the committee being derailed is in respect of those contentious issues which will serve to delay the committee if considered during this process. So, Chair, for instance, if it is just an ordinary matter of amending a bill and it, all parties were agreeable and the committee also in its system was agreeable, that then becomes a recommendation to us to go and do an A list, which would include such an amendment. But the committee must consider the clause as we are reading it from the bill as introduced, consider what the matrix says, which is the public input and the response by the department, and deliberate on it to make a decision whether it wants us, in its wisdom, the committee is directing us to go and do the drafting of what is proposed in the matrix. But by this very same token, Chairperson, the committee is still empowered by the rules to disregard the matrix in respect of some of the clauses where the committee in its wisdom is of the view that that matter is too contentious and will serve to delay the committee. And the committee can keep it in abeyance to deal with it at a later stage. So these are the options that the committee has, Chairperson. I hope it's much clearer now.
Okay, thank you for that explanation, Mr. Chairman. Let's give over to Bridget once more.
Thank you, Chair. For example, I would like then, as we take the process forward, not example, in real life, I would like to agree with what has been presented, taking into consideration the recommendations that were put forward to us, where the department agreed with this proposal, because some children are cared for by a caregiver who might want to adopt a child. And the amendment that is proposed in that regard is that in clause one, I don't know if it says section A, counseling of the parent, caregiver or guardian of the child, and where applicable, the child. So is this the right way of putting forward that proposal or recommendation to say, I agree with that part of the clause with of obviously the condition that this recommendation must be incorporated in that part of the clause? Because even the department agreed with this. So that would be my proposal, Chair. That would be my response, Chair. And I'm just nervous to say wholesale, whole clause one, accepted, let's go ahead. That is what I would like to be able to do, even as we very mindful of the timelines that we have for the North Gauteng High Court judgment. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Masango. Chair, pleased to have understood the approach and the process that we have to follow after several explanations that were given. Now you are on clause one. But Honorable Advocate General, it will be better for when we are speaking with a clause, you flight it again. Those that are unable to have their books with them are able to follow it, what people are saying, please. But you have managed to capture Honorable Masango's input, eh?
Yes, no, I have captured Honorable Masango's input, Chairperson, thank you. And Chairperson,
let me check other hands. Seemingly there are none for now. Carry on, Advocate.
So Chair, in line with Honorable Masango's input, the next step now, after we have read the clause one into the record for the committee, would be for the committee now to make a decision as to whether it wants us to proceed and make the amendments as per the recommendation in the matrix. So the recommendation in the matrix is how that legislation may be crafted. But in the A list, we can we will still consider, Chairperson, whether that's the best crafting of the clause, and then bring it back to the committee for the committee to consider. So the guidance we would need now is whether the committee wants to proceed with the amendments proposed in Section 1 as per the recommendations of the department, Chair. Or responses of the department, I mean.
Yeah, I think Honorable Masango has touched that. Where in fact, she even said that the department has responded by saying that it means that we are also allowing it to happen. Can I see hands on that thing? But it is clear that she touched that we agree because the department also have agreed in terms of telling us what is it that is happening. If the honourable members are not agreeing with this, I will say by the show of hand. Bridget Masango, honourable.
Thank you, Chair. I thank you so much for the response of the advocate. So I just want to know, for the purpose of this meeting and recording it, do we have to read in to the record each of those recommendations that were brought forward by the organizations and deliberated upon by the department and agreed, and read into record even those that were not agreed to? or what do we do then going forward? I'm just nervous that we might read the whole thing as Honorable Manganyi called it, galloping, and then be confused as to where now we go back to say, I would like us to go back to subsection A, where a grandparent or an adult sibling or half sibling, and then read the entire recommendation and then say, I agree with this, with that recommendation. Do these things have to be read into the record, or will they be taken from directly from the matrix, or what do we need to say for it to empower the legal support to actually in the A list have those things that we would like changed or recommend to be changed? Because I only mentioned one, but there is quite a number. That is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, advocates, can you again explain this? Because I heard you talking also about the B, Lenduka B version, which is going to also give us an opportunity for this. But maybe we can give over to you to respond to Honorable Masango about this.
Yes, Chair. No, Chairperson, the question by Honorable Masango really assists us to clarify the process, Chair, going forward. So, Chair, as I've mentioned, I just want to reiterate the importance of this. So the matrix, the legal status of the matrix is such that it is not binding. So the responses by the department where the department agrees are not binding on the committee. Therefore, they inform the committee's work. So where the committee sees that what the department has agreed to is what the committee would also like to see happen in the amendment, then we are given an instruction without necessarily reading what's in the matrix, because we also have a copy of the matrix. So it would be simply to say, in clause one, where the department agrees that this must be amended in this manner, we also as a committee agree, and therefore instruct you as legal advisors to go and give effect to it in the A list. So then that becomes a clear instruction for us to just go and consider the matrix and then go and craft. When we craft, we will also see whether we use what is in the matrix as the best way of crafting that clause, or we come up with our own crafting of that clause. And then when we present to the committee, we'll say, in this clause, we went by what was proposed by the department and agreed to by the committee, or in a different clause, we then applied ourselves and saw that there are certain impracticalities or legal implications, and this is how we've mitigated them in our own crafting. So that's how the process would work from a drafting perspective. But from a decision-making aspect of the committee, I will read, as I've been doing now, the clause into the record. I do not have to read the rest of what is in the matrix as members have it in front of them. However, if the members require for me to read also the matrix, I can, because I have a copy in front of me. And then the next stage, after reading both the matrix and considering both the matrix and what I've read in the bill, then the committee gets to that stage where it deliberates to decide whether it wants to go with it as per the matrix, or whether the committee would like to ignore the matrix in respect to of that amendment that I would have read and just go with what is in the bill. Then that's the decision of the committee, and we proceed as such, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mchengwane. I think it is getting more clear to everyone, because it is said that we are not armed to say we agree on a particular clause because the department has said so. We have to come back again, because all what is going to be drafted right now, it's going to come back again to us, and we can relook at it and correct it before we do anything saying that we approve. This will be a draft of draft. I will just put it like that. What are we saying on this clause? Because we can't be going away to other clauses without dealing with it. Because are we saying let's allow them to go and craft it, or they can hang on and our input on this clause is saying this and that. Can we go to that particular way of saying this? Honorable members, I don't see any hand. And I know for a fact that silence means consent.
It's not concerned. We are still juggling around, Chair.
With what?
We are comparing. See, did
okay.
We have to check what do...
Honorable. Can we request advocate to flight that clause again on the screen? I know for a fact that we are disadvantaged because the documents are too heavy. We can't be moving up and down with those documents, and people are on their way coming from Cape Town right now. The documents are at home. Honorable Bruce.
Listen, may I request, and I know it's going to be an issue of time, but how is it possible at all to go definition by definition? Is that not going to be easier for us and more quicker to handle than to go back to the whole clauses worth of definitions, please? I'm just seeking wisdom on that.
Honorable Ntsena, which one is, Advocate Ntsena, which one is the best to go about?
Chair, the committee can decide whichever way that it wants to. If it's easier for members, I can go back and read from the first clause and the two clause by clause. First definition in that clause one, and just read that, and then let the committee decide, and then move to the next one, and let the committee decide. If the committee wants us to do it that way, Chair, it's still agreeable and accepted in terms of the rules.
Okay. Why is it difficult for you, advocate, to flight what you are talking about right now?
Chair, I've been assisted by Lindy where to flight, so I'll ask her to flight the bill again. Lindy, can you please assist members to just put it on the screen for us again?
I'm telling you.
I want to have a question, because sometimes I'm struggling and I gave you the right to share, or is it going to be a problem from your side?
Yeah, you remember I was mentioning the technical problems I have with the email, then. So I might have a difficulty doing so on my side.
Okay.
What about Yoli? Can you help us with that on your side, the flighting?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. It's fine, just you can make me a call.
Okay. Do you have the bill in front of you?
I know you have the bill? Two other queries during the meeting, so yeah, that's why. Yes, I do have it in front of me. Ooh, but
Sorry.
My thing is there's all the highlights that I had made for myself when I was preparing.
Let me give you the new one.
Yeah, just give me the one that, yes, because this one has got my highlighted areas, the one I have. Yes. Thanks.
Hello? What is it that is taking place now?
Sorry, Chair, I was just waiting for Cecily to send me a clean copy of the bill, because the one that I had opened, which is my copy, I had all the highlighted areas. So she just sent me an email, so I'm going to open it now.
The clean one, okay.
Yes. My apologies for the delay, Chair. There was a notification from the email that it has come through, but it's not yet showing. Oh, here it is. Okay. Let me just save it, members. Just stay with me. Just saving it from so that I can open it, Chair.
Okay.
Okay, now I'll be able to open it, Chair. Let me just go. Can you see it, Chair?
Yes,
you can. Okay, let me just scroll then. Okay, so this is the clause one that the committee is dealing with, Chair.
Okay. Advocate. The definition, advocate.
Yes, Chair. Yes. Thank you, Chair. So as the Honorable Masango's suggestion, so I will go back now to read the definition of abandoned child and then allow for the committee to consider, and then we move on to the one of adoption service and so on and so on. So we're still in clause one, Chair. I will read it for the record. So in clause one, section one of the Children's Act 2005.
Excuse me, advocate. Can we request yes, your lead to enlarge the font? We can't resist to it. So short.
Yeah, because it's a PDF file.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how is it now?
Better.
Better.
Can you again? Yeah, that's good.
Much better, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Thanks.
All right. You can continue, advocate.
Thank you, Chairperson. So we are in clause one, Chair. We're starting with the abandoned child, the definition. So clause one reads as follows. Section one of the Children's Act of 2005 is hereby amended. A. By the substitution for the definition of abandoned of the following definition. Abandoned child means a child who, A, has been deserted by a parent, comma, guardian or court giver, semicolon. B, for no apparent reason, comma, has no contact with the parent, comma, guardian or court giver for a period of at least 3 months, semicolon, or C, has no knowledge as to the whereabouts of the parent, comma, guardian or caregiver, and such information cannot be ascertained from the relevant authorities. So that's the first definition, Chair, being amended. Members are reminded again that which is underlined is an insertion, and that is in square brackets is an omission. Thank you, Chair.
There we are. What are the members saying? Are other members present in this meeting? I only see Honorable Masango's hand. Honorable Alex, followed by Honorable Alex. Over to you, Honorable Masango.
Thank you, Chair. So I agree with the amendment with the following recommendation. I've already given my recommendation, Chair, of of the A, where it said, where I would like to propose that we, or recommend that we put in the, we amend the definition of adoption service to include counseling of the parent, caregiver or guardian of the child, and where applicable, the child. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Alex.
No, Chair, I was just going to say that I support the first definition A, and I think maybe Member Masango is now jumping to B, but I support the definition of A. Thank you.
Okay, definition of A is supported. And now we are on B. What are we saying about B?
Supported with my, sorry, it reads A on the matrix. So B supported with the what I have just read through, Chair. Sorry about that.
Okay. Advocate. Legal advisor.
Yes, Chair.
Mm. A what? Supported.
Yes, Chair. So,
we agree. B.
Yeah, yes, Chair. Well, we are on B now, and therefore there is no amendment in that one. In B, Chair, it reads as follows. That section one of the Act is amended by the substitution for the definition of adoption service of the following definition. So this is a new definition. Adoption service includes A, counseling of a parent or guardian of the child, and where applicable, the child. B, an assessment of a child by an adoption social worker in terms of section 230, subsection 2 of the Act. C, an assessment of a prospective adoptive parent by an adoption social worker in terms of section 231, subsection 2. D, the gathering of information for proposed adoption that is contemplated in section 237. E, a report contemplated in section 239(1)(b). And F, aftercare provided to the adoptive family. Thank you, Chair. That's B.
That's B.
Clause 1.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Honorable members, from my side, if I have to do also the input on this, what makes me to agree on this one would be, is this one of the counseling of the guardian, the parent. That is very critical, and I wish to concur with it, because it is very relevant and very critical when this happens. So now, from my side as the chairperson, I agree fully with B. Can I get other members? What are they saying?
Agree, Chair.
Okay. Seconded by Honorable Motawong. Then the next one, Advocate.
Thank you, Chair. The next one is section one, clause 1C, Chair. It reads as follows. Yes, the Act is amended by the substitution for definition of aftercare of the following definition. So the new definition proposed of aftercare. Aftercare means the supportive service provided by a social worker, comma, a social auxiliary worker or a social service practitioner responsible for adoption services, comma, to monitor progress with regard to the child's developmental adjustments as part of A, family preservation or reunification services, B, adoption or placement in alternative care, or C, discharge from alternative care. Thank you, Chair. That is a clause 1C, Chair.
Mm. 1C, aftercare, means social worker or auxiliary worker, and family preservation or reunification services, adoption or placement in alternative care, discharge from alternative care. What are members saying on this one? I don't want to gallop because I have a knowledge of some of other things. Like I was one of the foster care mothers from the center. So I don't want really to gallop in front of the Lenduka because I experienced some of other things that are written here. So I've got a little bit of clue. Bridget?
Thank you, Chair.
We are all clear?
Yes, we are. But on C, this is 1C, right?
Yes, 1C.
Advocate.
Yes.
Yes, we are on C, Honorable, aftercare.
1C, yes, you're right.
Okay. I don't know why I'm not reading what you are reading on this recommendation, because it says 1C should be worded as follows: has parents or guardians who cannot be traced by relevant authorities. But this 1C that we are talking about here is talking about the definition of aftercare, right?
Yes.
Okay. I think I'll
it's
wait.
It's saying aftercare means the supportive service provided by. Can you also enlarge it, Yuli? If possible, it's there. Yeah. Thank you very much. It's enough.
Do we by any chance have 2 1Cs, advocate, please? Because there's 1C that was talking about abandoned child, and then there's this 1C that's talking about the definition of aftercare. I don't want us to go past, and I have missed an opportunity to propose to recommend an amendment, please.
Kaloku, Honorable Masango, 1A and 1B, we have agreed upon.
Yes, we have.
Yes, that's section 1A and 1B, we have agreed upon. Then we are on 1C right now, the one that is starting with aftercare.
Okay, so I was talking about 1AC. That one, advocate. The one that where the cursor is at the moment. What is that?
We have proceeded from that one. That one was adopted because that was the definition of abandoned child.
Oh, okay.
So where you are highlighting now, that would be a new insertion in that definition of adopted child.
Oh, okay.
The committee has already moved on that one. It has adopted that one as well as the,
Let's go. Thank you. I'm sorry.
That C that is on the screen right now. One, close one, C.
Okay.
Walusa Milaj. Nancy Pari was C too.
Yes, no.
By the substitution for the definition of HMA.
Chairperson, please bear with us. We're trying to match the
matrix. No, I'm not going to gallop. I told you. Others, it's their first time really to deal with the amendment bill.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be patient and take one another through.
Sipaya
ekulasi unguyelwa.
Okay.
What are social workers? and auxiliary workers nazo that are also practitioners is responsible for the adoption services.
Right.
They are also supposed to monitor the progress.
Sure.
With the regard, with regard development adjustment.
Right.
All
right,
over. Yes.
It's me. As part of also...
there are hands, yes. There are hands, yes. There's hand of Honorable Stock.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in terms of Clause 1C, I would like to support the recommendation there, but I also want to amend the clause as follows, that in terms of this particular clause, it has no knowledge as to the whereabouts of the parent, guardian or caregiver, and such information cannot be ascertained by the relevant authorities. And also 2A, a child found in the following circumstances may be a child in the need of care and protection, at risk, and must or may be referred for investigation in the initial screening by a social service practitioner in the prescribed manner. So that's my submission in terms of 1C, and I support the recommendation of those amendments. Thank you, Slalo.
Okay, Honorable Stock. Remember, there was that debate in terms of must and may. And Advocate Nchochisa explain why they are saying may is regarded as the one, okanye, as the proper language to use for trying to accommodate the areas if the that center doesn't have money to do whatever responsibility. It doesn't mean that they are not going to do it, but because sometimes there are no finances to do it. So may is the suitable word. Sitting it in on that one. Otherwise, Honorable Stock has done with the other Lantica content on it. Because debate was on that may and must. Yes?
Sorry, Chair. As part of trying to assist the process, I'm comparing the matrix with the bill, the proposed bill. Chair, on page 2 of a matrix, there was a proposal from one of the stakeholders to define the caregiver, and that a recommendation was supported by the department to insert a new definition of the caregiver as a person who provides. So maybe you've omitted to and go to C. It is after 1B, Chair, on page 2 of the matrix. So maybe the committee can have a comment on that, or we're going to just pass that recommendation from Mr. Van der Kerk.
Okay. Matrix are saying what Lindy is saying. Is that C, Lindy?
It's on page 2. It's after 1B, the second page on the matrix. And the recommendation is define caregiver.
Oh, caregiver. Okay.
And then there's a proposal that there should be a new definition.
Of a caregiver.
Of new definition of informal caregiver.
Informal for give. Yeah. What are we saying on that one?
Chairperson, is it possible that we can then read the recommendation into the record and propose that a new definition of a caregiver is as follows: a person assigned care of a child within a registered cluster foster care scheme.
Mm. Advocate.
Yes, Chairperson. May I just ask you, Chairperson, that you please repeat the question to me?
Honorable Master.
No. I was following up on what our attention was drawn to on page 2 of the matrix, to say that it is then put forward the recommendation that proposes a definition of a caregiver as a person assigned care of a child within a registered cluster for foster care scheme. But now that according to the
submission,
yes, is by Fanicic.
Yes.
And it's on page 2. My biggest challenge, Chairperson, is if I could know from the matrix, I would be able to cross-reference the matrix to the bill as the advocate is taking us through the definitions. I don't know if there's a possibility that our support can help us with that. To say, for example, 1C, aftercare, is page such and such on the matrix. I know I'm pushing my luck. Is that possible?
Chair, may I? Sorry, I'm Lisa Naidu from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor, and accidentally, instead of raising my hand, I apologize for that. Lisa Naidu from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor. Together with Nati, we are the legal assistance for the committee.
Okay.
Chair, I may proceed to clarify
this. Proceed.
Chair, I just want to bring to the attention of the committee that in the matrix, the definition of caregiver that we are now discussing is actually a new amendment. It's not contained in the bill as such. So members won't find it in this bill. It's actually a suggestion to amend the current definition in the Act. And I'm sure Nati would also agree with me that this would be considered a new amendment. And if the committee is in agreement with the proposal from Panika, it can be added to the A-list.
Chairperson? Chair?
Yes.
I just confirmed with the drafter. I just confirmed with the drafter of the bill, Advocate Mitchell Chisa. Someone is making noise regarding this proposal. He confirmed that it's not under the definition in the current bill. It's going to be a new insertion. It's going to be a new amendment in the bill, so which the committee has power to do so, to put new definitions in the bill. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay.
That's it. Can we then proceed Mr. Chanani? Thank you very much. I can't remember the name of the law state advisor, but thank you for the explanation because great. Okay. Hello. Thank you very much.
The state law advisor's name.
Whatever the name.
It's Lisa Naiju, Chairperson. It's Miss Lisa.
Lisa
Naiju.
Okay, thank you very much, Lisa.
Yes. Not
sure. Over to you.
Yes, Chairperson. So, Chairperson, I just wanted at this point to mention. So I the explanation by our colleague Advocate Chochisa then assist Honorable Matang with respect to what is in the matrix against what is provided for in the bill.
Yes.
So, Chair, yes. The next step would be for the committee then to decide what it wants to do. If the committee wants to go with Mr. Fanicic's submission and make the new insertion which the committee is empowered to do, The committee will therefore have to instruct us just specifically that we must go and make that amendment. Otherwise, if the committee is satisfied with what is currently in the bill as introduced and thinks that it is adequate, then we proceed without any amendment there. I just want your person at this point then to bring the committee to the committee's attention to the clause in the rules of the National Assembly, 9th edition, rule 2864, Chair, which relates to the process of having to seek the permission of the House or of the Assembly where the committee's amendment process seeks to inquire into extending the subject matter of the bill. So where we are putting a completely new insertion, Chair, we must just check against this clause to see if we are extending the subject matter of the bill, in which case then we'd have to seek the permission of the House in terms of that rule 2864 B and C of the National Assembly rules, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay. I think Honorable Masango now is clear on what is it that is supposed to happen in terms of that. The submission of Mr. Whoever we choose. Can we then take what are the members saying on this one? Honorable Member Stokes, hand is up, and Honorable
Abrams and Opperman. Okay.
Opperman is Kizela. And then after Honorable Kizela, it will be Alex. Over to you, Honorable Stone. Maybe it's an old hand, Lindy. This is not an old hand. From Honorable Stone.
No. I don't know, sir.
I don't think it's old.
It must be. It's new.
It's brand spanking.
Okay, check if it's brand new and.
Okay, Chair.
Can we meanwhile give over Gisela and followed by Alex? Gisela?
Good morning, Chairperson. I agree with the new definition. Chair, can you hear me?
Yes. You are saying you agree with the... Yes,
With the new definition of caregiver, where it says that a person assigned care of a child within a registered cluster foster care scheme. So I'd like to know, for my clarification, are there cluster foster care schemes everywhere? If I think of my situation now, rural Northern Cape, will it be practically be possible to execute? Or if you think about the Northern Cape distances, we don't have a local office here. We have to go to a district office almost 400 k's away. What will be our direct point of reference if it must be somebody registered within a cluster foster care scheme? Thank you, Chair.
Mm-hmm. In cases really of rural areas, this might not be practical in terms of implementing it. But in cases where these cluster care would be able to work according to what the bill is saying. Can we then check, Alex, what is Alex?
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to support the aftercare definition as amended, but then also to add it, the informal caregiver in line with the rule the advocate announced that we seek permission from the Assembly to extend. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Advocate.
Chair, where is the... Yes, Chair, I can hear you. So yes. I was saying if it is a definition, a decision of the committee to insert that new definition, then Chair, we will have to include it in the A list, Chair. Thank you.
Good. Okay. Are we not done on this one?
We are.
1C? Are we not done?
We are, Chair.
We are, Chair. We proceed to D. Yes, Chair. D reads as follows, Chair. By the substitution for paragraph A in the definition of care of the following paragraph. A, within available means, providing the child with, Roman letter one, a place to live, two, living conditions that are conducive to the child's health, comma, well-being and development, and three, the necessary financial support. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. So that one, that old suitable place to live, is the one that's going to be inside there.
Chair, in D, we are substituting paragraph A in the Act, which is in the definition of care with the following. So we are removing suitable in the existing provision in the Act, Chair. So the amendment in that is the removal of. So you are not very clear, Chair. Sorry, you're breaking. Hello.
Lindy. Hello.
You are not at audible. You can just repeat, Chair.
I was saying, we are going to take out suitable, as Mr. Mchengani is saying, that we will just having this small one, in fact, D, A small one, we will take out suitable and just have a place to live. Is that what he is saying?
Yes, Chair. On that one, I support that it should read providing the child with a place to live, because suitable, I might think is suitable, and when you come, you say it's not suitable. So I think we must take out that suitable. I agree with the draft.
Okay. On this one,
Yes, Chairperson. Chairperson, the definition of suitable means right or appropriate for a particular person, a purpose or situation. So a place to live, I mean, a place to live can be under a bridge. And then, but I would take comfort if the law advisor would then say that by removing suitable, if then the next line, living conditions that are conducive to a child's health, well-being and development, would then take the place of that word suitable. Because, I mean, a place to live, you can put a cardboard box over you, but then that's not conducive to a child's health, well-being and development. So as long as if they are going to remove the word suitable, you know, that second line then becomes extremely important.
Okay.
That's my concern, Chair.
Suitable.
Isabella? Yes, I'm in agreement with Alex. I also feel that if A1 and 2 can then fuse and it reads, a place to live where the living conditions are conducive to the child's health and well-being, then I'll also be fine with that. Thank you, Chair.
I also just would like to agree that if we remove suitable, that definition, the A Roman figure one is doesn't mean anything at all. Why? What? How can we say within available means providing a child with as colleagues have said, because it can't stand alone. It means nothing at all. If someone says that I have done what that section says, they can just leave a child anyway and say that is the place to live. What's your problem?
Mm-mm.
Thank you, Chair.
Chair, Lisa's hand is up, Chair, the state law advisor. Maybe she wants
Can we give over to the law statement advisors? Lisa?
Sorry, Chair. You weren't very audible. You were breaking up. I would just like to provide the committee with the background as to why the department opted to remove suitable. When the department was drafting the bill and sent it to our office, obviously we vetted it for constitutionality and practicality. When it came to this clause, it was the issue of suitability in South Africa, and it became very subjective. You provide the child with a place to live, and you read it together with subsection 2, living conditions that are conducive to the child's health, well-being, and the necessary financial support. Because in South Africa, like you mentioned, the rural areas, you might be in a one-bedroom, and that's suitable, whereas people will assume that you need two bedrooms to place your child in a separate room is suitable. So that is why that word was removed from that provision. I hope that gives the committee some background as to why the department had removed that word specifically. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Hello?
Yes, it's me.
Okay.
Yes, when I was... Can you hear me, Chair?
Yes.
Yes, Chair. When I was saying we take out suitable, I thought we are reading them exactly like Ms. Naidu have said, Liz Naidu have said, with 1, 2, and 3. I thought we are reading in that way. So I agree in reading in that way, because in the first I was thinking when I was just taking that one, because I know we read the 3 of them. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Honorable members, the reality of the matter, what Honorable Jane and Miss Lisa Naidu is saying, small two, living conditions that are conducive to the child's health, well-being and development, and the necessary financial support, is also saying the same thing with that small one, which says suitable. Nandibona, they are also saying the same thing. It's just that I don't know the suitable thing. What is it? A transmesh on it. but the range of the matter, the suitability on the conducive, when you talk about conducive, you mean something that will fit a child, especially when they highlight the child's health.
Can I
small one, in? Small two, small three.
That's suitable. When you take suitable from the township, or suitable from the urban area, and suitable from the rural area, definitely it won't give you suitable as you come from the urban area. When you come to my place, you will say this place is not suitable, because suitable in your area is not like suitable in the rural area.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Manganyi. What is it exactly that was saying, Honorable Members? Now I am of the opinion that nothing is gone when we agree that suitable can be taken out, especially now that Lisa Naidu has advised us, because small two, small three are also covering that suitability. So I don't even want us to vote on that, but rather to reach consensus of saying let's allow it to be taken out.
Agreed, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable. They must also put it, and we still have to look at it and reread and get advices and read dictionaries, because we have to know this suitable. What does it mean?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Honorable Man. Let's move to, that was D.
Yes.
Then, can we go
yes.
to...
We are on E now, Chair.
Yes, we are on E.
Yes, and E reads as follows, Chair. By the deletion of paragraph E in the definition of caregiver. Thank you, Chair.
Why so short? The deletion of paragraph. What
so in that
paragraph? Or the caregiver.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Chair. So in that paragraph E, we simply just remove the definition of caregiver. So by the deletion of paragraph E, so in the definition of caregiver, we remove paragraph E. So in the principal act, Chair, in the principal act, Chair, we will remove paragraph E in terms of this.
Chair, Lisa's hand is up. Change.
Okay, Lisa. Lisa, I do. Over to you.
Chair, to assist the committee. When we make amendments to the Act and we just delete a provision, we don't include the entire definition in the bill. However, if the committee would like, I would read out the full definition in the Act and indicate E exactly what it says. Should I continue?
Please, because I was just struggling in my mind, what is E saying when it is said it must be deleted?
The definition of caregiver in the Act means any person other than a parent or guardian who factually cares for a child, and includes, when we draft and we do it, which when we draft and use the words any person, it's inclusive of everything that is even outside of what I'm going to read out now. So caregiver means any person other than a parent or guardian who factually cares for a child and includes A, a foster parent, B, a person who cares for a child with the implied or express consent of a parent or guardian of the child, C, a person who cares for a child whilst the child is in the temporary safe care, D, a person at the head of a child and youth care center where a child has been placed, E, this is being deleted, E, the person at the head of a shelter, F, a child youth care worker who cares for a child who is without appropriate family care in the community, and G, the child at the head of a child-headed household. So once again, E provides for the person at the head of a shelter, and that's been deleted from the bill. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, thank you, Liz. Alice?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I support the deletion because I think D covers it, a person who cares for a child whilst the child's in temporary safe care. So I'll support the deletion. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Agreed. Because it's more or less the same, really, at the end of the day. And then, F. Deletion of circumcision. Can we also be assisted on that one? Can we also be assisted? What is that clause? What was it saying?
Yes, Chair, I can read it out. Circumcision in relation to a female child means the removal of the clitoris by any means.
Thank you. We have to take out.
Yes, Chair, the entire definition is being deleted.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What are members saying on that?
Please, could the State Law Advisor read that again, please?
Circumcision in relation to a female child means the removal of the clitoris by any means.
That must be taken out.
They are whispering now, but they are...
No, I agree with the sentence.
Yes. Okay, agreed. Can we proceed?
Thank you, Chair. So we're on G.
G.
By the substitution of definition of clerk of the court of the following definition. So the new definition for clerk of the court will read as follows. Clerk of the court means clerk of the children's court, appointed or designated as such, either in terms of Section 67 of this Act or Section 13 of the Magistrates Court Act of 1944. Thank you, Chair.
What are honorable saying on that one? Thank you.
The statement.
The statement. Okay, what was it saying?
That started with clerk of the court, that meaning, that definition, leaving that one of the clerk of the court. This one, it gives clear who's supposed to do what. That one that started with the bold letters.
Clerk of the court means clerk of the children's court appointed. Agreed. Yeah. H.
Chair reads as follows. By the substitution for the definition of cluster foster care scheme of the following definition. The new definition reads as follows. Cluster foster care scheme means a scheme provided for the reception of children in foster care, managed and operated by a designated child protection organization or the provincial department of social development and registered by the provincial head of social development for this purpose. Thank you, Chair.
Yes. Members? F? We're on F, members.
Yes.
By the deletion of the definition, by the substitution.
We are on H.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Definition of cluster foster care scheme of the following definition. Cluster foster care scheme, a scheme providing for the reception of a children in foster care
by
non-profit organization and operated by designated child protection organization. Okay.
Can you hear my agreed? It's so slim.
We are doubting, but we agree.
Okay. Mm. We can come back and say no. Mm-hmm. We have thought otherwise. Can we go to HII? By the deletion of the definition of divorce court. Can we also list Naidu assist us? What was the sentence saying?
Chairperson, can we just jump back quickly?
Jump what?
Just back to H quickly.
H, okay.
I would just like to add, Chairperson, that I would be in agreement and support for the proposal and recommendation in the matrix that it includes to include the definition of caregiver within the cluster foster care scheme. I think that's also been supported by the department.
I think we've passed that one. Honorable Masango and Honorable Mangani agreed on it. Thank you very much, Alex. You are that one. Then I were on deletion of definition divorce court. And I was saying, requesting Liz Naidu to read us the sentence before.
Yes, Chair. In the Act, divorce court is defined to mean the divorce court established in terms of Section 10 of the Administration Amendment Act 1929, Act 9 of 1929, which is no longer applicable. So this is a technical amendment.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Agreed.
Jay? Insertion after the definition of drop-in center of the following definition. Early childhood development, that is ECDC, instead of drop center.
Please leave the advocate to read.
Why do you want the advocate to read whilst I'm able to read, Honorable Member? You can also read for us. Honorable Masango, read for us.
He's been doing a good job, sir.
Read for us, Honorable Masango, because we have to read it. Okay.
No, but the advocate.
This thing is going to take us for a whole day.
Oh, my God. Fire the advocate, sir.
Early Childhood Development Center means a center that provides an early childhood development program, as contemplated in Section 913. Mr. Mchengani, can you read for us? I think Honorable Masango will be happy when you read, because you are reading very fast. You are galloping, in other words. Can you gallop and read?
Let's advocate.
Okay. read it.
We are amending. We are on J, if I'm following correctly, Chair.
Yes, we are on J.
Yes. So in J, Chair, we are inserting after the definition of drop-in center, the following definition. It reads as follows, Chair. Early childhood development center means a center that provides an early childhood development program as contemplated in section 91, subsection 3, for more than 6 children from birth to school going age. Thank you, Chairperson. That's what Jay says.
Agreed. I agree as the person on that one.
Agreed.
Okay. Seconded. Mm-hmm. L. Okay.
So we're on K, Chair.
L.
K. K, yes. K, Chairperson, raised as follows. We're substituting for the definition of early childhood development services with the following definition. Early childhood development service means a service or support provided to children from birth to school going age, or a service or support provided to a child's parent, guardian or caregiver with the intention to promote the child's emotional, cognitive, sensory, spiritually, moral, physical, social, and communication development. Thank you, Chairperson.
Member?
Agreed.
Agreed.
Seconded. Agreed.
Can I bring to attention that, remember a portion that was taken by the committee, the issues relate to ECD. Will not be considered by the committee. I think this one is amongst the clauses that deals with the ECT. We can just reject,
Yes.
We have not considered this one.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. As you reject this, I highlight because we are not dealing with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Rejected.
Not rejected, but
it's not our domain. We can
reject.
Okay.
That's the terminology that is used, Chair. It's either we reject or we agree to.
Okay. We are not dealing with this thing.
Maybe the Umjengana will just maybe outline the terminology when it comes to the processing of legislation.
Yes. No, in fact, what had happened, Chairperson, is that in the committee, just to assist the committee by a quick reminder, what had happened, Chairperson, right from the outset when the committee first considered the bill, it took a decision that it did not want to be derailed or delayed by clauses relating to ECD when the function of ECD was going to be migrated to basic education. And therefore, the decision was that all those clauses in the bill which relate to early childhood development would be rejected. At this stage, Chairperson, would merely have to formalize that decision of the committee. Where we see an insertion or a clause dealing with early childhood development, we formally just reject it so that it reflects on the record. And then when we do the A list, we will go and just update that. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Lizelle? Lisa, Naidu, is your hand still up?
Sorry, over to you. Lindy had already brought it up that every early childhood clause in the bill is now going to be incorporated in the amendment bill that's supposed to come from the Department of Education, Basic Education, together with DSP.
I agree with what you are saying, but why you didn't make an asterisk that we mustn't waste time? We could have gone to another clause.
No, I'm sorry, it's a mistake that I did because I should have also indicated to you that this one deals with early childhood. Excuse me for that. Can we then reject it for now?
As rejected.
We are rejecting
it. Rejected.
We're on K, Chair, so we will just update. Will that update the committee's decision with respect of that proposed decision of early childhood development center?
K and L.
Yes, well, on K, same thing with K. and then now we're on L, Chair.
Oh.
L is as follows. By the insertion after the definition of family advocate of the following definition. Family counselor means a family counselor appointed in terms of the mediation in certain divorce matters Act of 1987. Thank you, Chair. That's L.
Please, is your hand up?
No, Chair, that was the previous hand. It's an old hand.
It's an old hand. I agree personally with that one of family counselor. What are other members saying?
Member Chair.
Second. Honorable Stock.
Thank you, Chair. Second. I also wanted to say I agree with it. Let's proceed. Agreed, Chair. Thanks.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Thank you very much. And Honorable Princess Masango.
There's an input here that says that we need to amend the heading in line with the amendment to the heading of Part B, the heading of Part A of the register in line with the amendment.
Where are you?
I'm on the matrix, Chair.
Which subsection? L. No, I understand we are on page 2. L. Okay.
I think I'm lost.
You are. L.
Because it says L in such family counselor.
Yes, which we agree family counselor means, yes.
My apology, Chair.
Thank you very much. M?
Chair, we are on M. M reads as follows. By the substitution for the definition of genital mutilation of the following definition. Genital mutilation means the procedure performed for non-medical reasons that has no health benefit and intentionally A, causes injury to genitals, B, removes any part of the genitals, or C, alters genital organs. Thank you, Chair. That's M.
Hey, M. What are honorable members saying?
See, I agree.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm scared to agree with this. We are substituting the definition of genital mutilation.
Yes, by providing this is a completely new information, which is why it's underlined.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I'm cautiously agreeing.
Okay. But I'm also now thinking of other cultures on what they are doing. White people. What's going to happen on that? Which they do that at an early age in the clinic. Who's going to come back? Please, Naidu. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Yes, Chair. Can I just, for the committee's reference, read the original definition in the Act?
That will be the best.
Original definition, the current definition, genital mutilation in relation to a female child means the partial or complete removal of any part of the genital and includes circumcision of female children. And the new definition has been brought in to be much wider to include both sexes, male and female. And that is why the definition of circumcision was also removed, because when it comes to an issue of causing injury, removing any part for non-medical reasons, this was appropriate according to the department's policy decision. But I do understand your comments about different religions and what would happen from there. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, I believe there was an input that was received, and I think it's amongst the inputs that were presented to us yesterday. I mean, the other day when we met, the inputs from the Department of Western Cape or something on this issue. This is why I was not sure that I needed, I could confidently, I just want to. The basic education of Western Cape had some input on this issue. I would like for us to be able to, I can't find it on my matrix. I don't know if it's with the ones that were presented to us on Wednesday, Chairperson. What can I say to make sure that we consider that as well? Yes, please. Please, Chair, so that in the interest of progress.
Yeah, are we able to say, Mchangane, we can come back to that?
Yes, Chair, the committee can certainly come back to that. Because when we, at the end of the process, we'll have to adopt each and every one of the clauses. So section one, the sorry, clause one of the bill can therefore not be amended if there's still a matter kept in abeyance. But we can deal with all these other definitions. And then when we've confirmed, we'll come back to this one and adopt the whole clause.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. Can we then proceed to...
We were dealing with genital mutilation. So the next one is inter-country adopt. No, it's N, which is dealing with higher education. It reads as follows: by the insertion after the definition of higher education in the Principal Act of the following definition. This is a new definition being added after the definition of higher education. It reads as follows. Inter-country adoption. Inter-country adoption means the placement, comma, for the purposes of adoption, comma, of a child habitually resident in one country in the permanent care of a person habitually resident in another country in accordance with the Hague Convention on Protection of Children and Cooperation in respect of inter-country adoption and the provisions of the Act. This is a new interpretation, Chair.
Yeah. Listen, I do.
Yes, Chair.
Yeah.
The old definition, please.
Chair, I believe
a new insertion.
Oh, it's brand new.
Yes, new from the book.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, agreed then.
It's new, we go with it.
Yeah.
Yes, Chair, it's a new definition.
Okay. My apologies.
Let's go with the new one, yeah? That is N.
Sasile, Chair, also Zwang.
In Zwile, I'm also looking old.
Okay. No, it's agreed, Chair, on my part.
So we go to O, Chair?
Yes, O.
Raised as follows, Chairperson, it's by the substitution for definition of midwife of the following definition. Midwife means a person registered as a midwife under the National Act of 2005. So that's a new definition of midwife, Chair. It's just a correction of the reference to the legislation. we're referring now instead of 78 legislation to the 2005 Act. Thank you, Chair.
KO is new.
No, in fact, it's not new, Chair. It's just that it used to, the old definition used to refer to a 1978 Act. It's now being updated to include that insertion of the, which is underlined, which is the 2005 Act.
So would it be a technical?
It's a technical amendment, yes.
Okay, agreed.
P. Chair is as follows. By the substitution for the definition of nurse,
apologies, Chair.
Is your head up?
My hand's up, yes, Chair. Just a quick question. Okay. I've got my children's act here, and I'm looking at midwife, and they are saying definition of, in brackets, they speak to the act of 2007 and again of 2010. Is that something completely different?
Thank you for that question, member. Lisa, can you please help us to read the definition from the Children's Act of that definition? Because here in all, it says by the substitution of the definition of midwife of the following definition. So that substitution would be the substitution of what is of what currently is in the Act and putting in this one. This one which we have in the bill, it reads as follows. Midwife means the person registered as a midwife under the Nursing Act. And then it takes away that 78 and says, it was referred to an act of 2005, act number 33 of 2005. That's in terms of the proposed amendment. So I'm going to ask my colleague Lisa to read from the principal act what the definition of it was used to read like.
Okay, over to you, please.
Midwife means a person registered as a midwife under the Nursing Act, 1978 in brackets, Act 50 of 1978, which has been omitted because, well, inserted because it was underlined. I believe the honourable member is referring to what's in brackets underneath, and that's definitions of midwife inserted by Section 3I of Act 41 of 2007, WEF 1st April 2010. That is when that provision would have come into operation. And that's just a drafting note, but it's not the actual definition of midwife, which is making reference to the Nursing Act 1978, Act 50 of 1978. And This is a technical amendment because we're now correcting the reference to the Act.
Thank you. Understood.
Mm-hmm. Often.
Thank you, Chairperson. We are now on P, and we are defining a nurse. And it reads as follows: by the definition by the substitution for the definition of nurse of the following definition, it's also a technical amendment, Chair, just as the same as the midwife. We're referring to a 2005 Act instead of what used to be a 1978 Act. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, nurse. Support.
Yes.
Agreed. Q.
Then Q, Chair, reads as follows: by the substitution for the Q reads as follows, Chair, by the substitution. So, Chair, just to make a note that my colleague Lindy is assisting with recording the voting of members around the adoption of these definitions. Where it is agreed, the members who agree and the members who support that or who second the agreement. So we are now on Q, Chair. Q reads as follows: by the substitution for the definition of orphan of the following definition. Orphan means, it's a new addition, Chair. Orphan means a child whose parents or both parents are deceased. Thank you, Chair.
What was it saying before?
It says, by the substitution of the definition of orphan of the following definition. So it says orphan means a child whose parents or both parents are deceased. This is a new insertion, Chair. I'll just ask my colleague if there is a definition in the principal. Unfortunately, I don't have it in front of me here.
Thank you, Nati. The current definition is orphan means a child who has no surviving parent caring for him or her. It's aligned to the ordinary dictionary meaning in the Act.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah, we are one. Supported.
So, well, R. are read as follows. By the substitution for paragraph E in the definition of party of the following paragraph. This is how the new E is going to read. Yeah? The department, comma, provincial department of social development or the designated child protection organization managing the case of the child, semicolon, or. Thank you, Chair. That's our R.
Hmm? What are one of the provinces?
Find me. Agreed.
Agreed.
Thank you.
Can Thank we
you,
go
Chair.
To?
One S.
S.
It reads as follows, Chair. By the insertion after the definition of RACAP, the acronym RACAP, of the following definition. Regional court means a court for any regional division as contemplated in the Magistrates Court Act of 1944. Thank you, Chair. That's our S.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What does RACAP stand for?
Regional.
Is it about the register of available children?
Register of adoptable children and prospective adoptive parents.
Okay.
Can we say the advocate must tell us what is RACAP means? I'm joking, Alex. You are right. You are right. I'm joking. I thought Honorable Masango will say that.
Maybe Umchochisa is here and can assist from the department.
Okay, no, it's fine. It was just
the members, okay.
At least that abbreviation is written already there.
Mm.
He wanted to know the abbreviation. What does it mean? Okay.
So we're on two
chapters. What are we saying, members, on that one?
Agreed on
RACAP.
Yes, on S for sugar.
Okay, then you agree.
Thank you, Chair. So we are on T now, Chair.
T, yes.
T, it reads as follows. By the insertion, after the definition of secure care, of the following definition, separated migrant child. So the definition is a new one, Chair. It reads as follows. Separated migrant child means a child who is not a citizen of the Republic, and who has been separated from both parents or from previous legal or customary caregivers, comma, but not necessarily from other adult family members, comma, including a child accompanied by an adult family member. Thank you, Chair. That's our team.
Yes. Can
I have a recommendation on this one?
Sorry, please repeat one of my time. I didn't hear that.
No, I was just waiting for the chair to allow me to go ahead. I was saying that on this one, on T, I have a recommendation.
Okay. What does it say?
It reads, my recommendation is saying that please delete the words in bold with square brackets as shown. Separated migrant child means a child who's not a citizen of the Republic, and then it goes on to say who has been separated from both parents or from previous legal. We are saying that please replace the word who is not a citizen of the Republic with who is from a foreign country, to enable foreign children in the Republic of South Africa to receive services. The UNCRC recommendation to include the category. And the department seems to have supported that on page 18 of the matrix.
Okay. Mr. Mchochisa, it's your turn. You've been quiet for quite a long time.
My apologies, Chair. Okay. I just lost network a little bit, Honorable Chair. I'm not very sure of the exact question that you has been posed. Can I ask a bit of that?
We are saying we are on S. We're on T.
One T.
Yes, on that new insertion of
the. My apologies, Honorable Chair.
Okay. Can we request
network? I just want clarity in terms of
let's leave you alone. Let's leave you because I know for a fact that when you are in Amtata, it's very bad. Mr. Mchenna, you are with us.
I'm right here, sir.
Can you get into that?
So, Chair, I'm looking into the separated migrant child definition in the bill. Right. And what is in T is an insertion of a new definition of separated migrant child. And right. That entire insertion is a new insertion all the way up to family member. So I didn't exactly understand Honorable Masambo's comment about the square brackets because they're not in that insertion. So when I go to the matrix,
right.
And I see that the matrix is saying that we must the Legal Aid South Africa Center and Center for Child Law
right.
have commented on it, and the definition, the recommendation is that we must delete words in bold with square bracket as shown. Separated migrant child means a child, and then we must remove then in terms of this recommendation, who is not a citizen of the Republic of South Africa.
Right.
And so the words we're going to remove are from after child. So it will read, a separated migrant child means a child mm-hmm. who has been separated from both parents or from a previous legal or customary caregiver, but not necessarily from another. So it will remove, so in terms of this new, in terms of what is in the matrix, the words who is not a citizen of the Republic are going to be removed.
Yes, but it replaced with who is from a foreign country, not?
And then it says who is has been replaced the words who is not with the, yes, that's correct, Honorable Masango, because the response by DSD then says we can replace those words in the bill now with the new words that a child who is from a foreign country to enable foreign children in South Africa to receive services. And that's in line, apparently, with the recommendation of the UNCRC.
Okay.
So if the committee agrees that we should go with what the department has proposed here, we would then have to go and craft in the A list a new definition for separated migrant child to include what the department has proposed.
But the department is supporting.
While the department, yes, Chair, the crafting, because they've developed the crafting of how it would look like. So we will remove the words, even though the meaning is really the same, but we would have to go and craft it to reflect exactly what it says here in the matrix, Chair, which is we remove child who is not a South African citizen of the Republic with the words foreign country to enable the child. So we'll remove the words who is not a citizen of the Republic with the word who is from a foreign country.
Right.
Appears to mean the same thing, but to give effect to the members.
What is the difference from a person who's coming from outside the country and the foreign, whatever?
According to the public input, Chair, and the stakeholder Center for Child Law, the definition as it pertains now does not support the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Child, as it does not include the word citizen. So the whole reference to citizenship apparently carries as consequences that would not be in line with that convention, according to the stakeholders. And the department has agreed to that. And that in order to replace but not lose the meaning of that definition, you replace the reference to citizen by the word foreign country.
Okay.
To make it consistent with that convention. To make the definition consistent with the convention.
Okay. It's a technical sort of thing. Yes. It's really technical.
It's quite a technical one, Chair, but it also assists with limiting the possibility of confusion in the interpretation of legislation or potential litigation because of unclarity of the word. So if we have an opportunity now to clarify, Chair, such that it does not contravene international law, this is the best opportunity to do so, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
So, Chair, if that is adopted and we're going to update it, it will be new.
Agreed.
Thank you, Chair. Then if we proceed, the following clause we're reading is U, which reads, by the substitution for the definition of sexual abuse of the following definition. Sexual abuse in relation to a child means any sexual offense against a child. Thank you, Chair. That's our view.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
Thank you, Chair. If that is seconded, then we move to V. And our V, Chairperson, reads as follows. By the insertion after the definition of sexual offense of the following definition. Social service practitioner. Social service practitioner means any person registered in a social service profession or occupation with the South African Council of Social Services Service Professions as contemplated in the Social Service Professions Act of 1978, to practice and render a service within the social service sector. Thank you, Chair. That's how I've been. Are you there, Chair?
I'm just checking, sir. Sorry.
Okay.
I seem to remember there were issues.
Honorable Masango, are you winning?
Sorry, I can't find. I thought there were quite some issues here, but it seems to be.
I'm supporting this one.
Okay, let's agree with that, and yes. Then we'll review it if there is anything.
Yeah,
just note it.
I agree.
Okay, just note it so that you will look at it.
Yes.
Still jumped.
Thank you, Chief.
Okay, the next one.
The next one, Chairperson, is W. It reads as follows. By the deletion of the definition of social service professional. So that's completely removed from the act. Thank you, Chair. That's our W.
Okay, member.
Deletion.
Definition?
Deletion of the definition. The entire definition is deleted.
Yes, the entire definition of social service professional is going to be deleted in terms of this.
Hey, can the advocate just refresh our memories and elaborate why again? Thank you.
Yes. Does Ms. Naidu have
Ms. Naidu?
What is this Naidu? The current definition a social service professional includes a probation officer, development worker, child and youth care worker, youth worker, social auxiliary worker, and social security worker.
who are registered as such in terms of the Social Service Professional Act 1978, Act 110 of 1978, because of the inclusion of social service practitioner, that hence led to the deletion of social service professional.
Oh, okay.
Oh, seconded.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. If adopted, Chair, we move to X, which reads as follows. By the substitution for the definition of temporary safe care of the following definition. Temporary safe care means care of a child in an approved and registered child and youth care center, or in the care of an approved person, including a place as contemplated in section 167(3), where the child can safely be accommodated pending a decision or court order concerning the placement of the child, but excludes care of a child in a prison or police. Thank you, Chair. That's X.
Remember what I was saying on this one. Honourable Member.
I'm going to agree because I don't even.
Agreed.
Okay, the next one.
The next one is Y, Chair. It reads as follows. By the insertion after the definition of traditional authority of the following definition, an unaccompanied migrant child means a child who is not a citizen of the Republic of South Africa and who has been separated from both parents or other adult family members and is not being cared for by an adult who, comma, by law or custom, comma, is responsible for doing so. And thank you, Chair. That's our one.
I agree, Chair. Honorable members, I agree. Anyone?
Seconded.
Thank you very much. The next
thank
one.
You, Chair. Chair, we're on that. I don't know if there's a member who seems to object, Chair.
No, I'm not objecting through you, Chair. I was just trying to read quickly, but I failed. The difference between unaccompanied and separated, because it sounded like it's something I've heard quite recently, just now. So that's what I was trying to do, but it's fine.
Chairperson, I've got a quick question for the advocate, if I may. So if we've changed the separated migrant child and removed that who is not a citizen of the Republic and replaced it who is from a foreign country, why are we not then making the same change for unaccompanied migrant child? If the advocate can maybe explain that to me.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to read. Because the one is separated and the other is unaccompanied. I mean, at the end of the day, none of them have got anyone with them. In my layman.
No, Chairperson, much as I have not been privy to the other than what is in the matrix to the submission by the Child Law Center in
yes.
respect of the in respect of the reference to citizenship, the word citizen, the same justification, Chair, which is used in reference to the separated migrant child as
mm-hmm.
it relates to the mention of citizenship should
mm-hmm.
apply here, Chair, as a consequence.
Yes.
And therefore, that would mean we would have to revise that definition of unaccompanied migrant child to reflect a similar crafting in wording in order for it to be consistent with that convention. So
mm-hmm.
we will just update it, Chair, consequently, as a consequence in line with that one of separating making child and present it in the A list to the committee.
Okay. I'm happier. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, the next one,
The next one is that it reads as follows. By the substitution for subsection 4 of the following subsection 4, any proceedings arising out of the application of the Divorce Act, the Maintenance Act, the Divorce Violence Act, the Domestic Violence Act, of 1998, and the Recognition of Customary Marriages Act of 1998. Thank you, Chair. So it just references the proceedings arising in one of those pieces of legislation as outlined in that. Thank you, Chair. That's how was that.
Supported, Chair. Agreed, no? Alex? Support, yes, agreed. Yes.
I'm supporting.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. The next one.
So now, Chair, that would be the end of our clause one. We would then have to put the clause before the committee, Chair, to deal with whether the committee adopts the clause with the amendment that it has proposed that we should go and do. And then we proceed to clause two, Chair.
Chair, anyone that can say so? Lindy?
Maybe, I don't know whether I'll be derailing the committee or I can just leave it for the committee to adopt the clause one with amendments as proposed. Just pick up I think one or two recommendation made by stakeholders on 18, a new definition of the child parent, that the Department of Social Development agreed on is from the Center for Child Law, that there's a need to include a definition of child parent, and the department agreed on that. So I don't know whether I'll be delaying the committee or we can just, when there's another round for amendment of, we can also take into account the additions or the new definitions in the bill. I need your guidance.
I don't think we are delaying the committee, but you are also highlighting that there is that one that is left behind. Can we get the member?
On which page, Chair? On the matrix, page 18, Mama. The first line. It reads section one in relation to section 1.9, definition of child parents.
So, Honorable Doc.
Okay.
Hey, thank you, Chairperson. No, I had my hand up because I wanted to move for the adoption of clause one. Now that Lindy has brought this one, I think I must lower my hand. I'll come back to the later stage. Thank you.
Okay, sure. What are you saying, Honorable Jane, about that one? The one that has been read from the matrix?
I was just looking the page that Lindy will talk about. I can see it on page 19. Where the department agrees with it, with the amendment law, supported the new definition of separation of migrant child parents.
Yeah, please.
There is another one. Honorable Masango, what are you saying?
I'm saying, Chairperson, that there's another one that we I don't know how we missed out, but it's 1AC. 1AC. It's on page 7 of the matrix. And it refers to, and the department agreed to it, where a child cannot know, it talks about the fact that a child cannot be responsible for knowing about their parents, because I mean, some children, when they are found, they're very young to have any knowledge as to the whereabouts of the parent, guardian or caregiver, and such information cannot be ascertained by the relevant authorities. I don't remember us going through that one. It's one AC under the abandoned child. Did we go through that one, please?
No, I don't think we did. No,
we did. We did it under the
did,
I still remember it.
It's under AC. It's not the C, it is AC. Please check for us.
Ms. Kimjinlai?
I'm very sorry. Fortunately, the department agreed to it. It was raised by the Center for Child Law and Professor Skelton.
Page 7.
Yes.
Is that in the May, page 7 of the May 3rd, Honorable Masang?
Yes, Advocate Jinlai.
I think how it was dealt with in the committee is that it was accurate without us considering what the matrix has proposed.
Yes.
Yes, no, it is so. It is so that we did not.
My apology. If we could please include
that. Make the note. If the members agree, we'll just make the note, Honorable Chairperson, as Honorable Masang was suggesting, that we just include that in the A list.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Agreed.
Just make a note. Agreed.
Thanks, Chair.
And then let's give over to Honorable Stock in terms of Section 1.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I formally move for the adoption of clause number 1. Thank you very much. As proposed for the amendment. Thanks.
Thank you, clause 1.
Chairperson, Chair, I have my hand up.
All right, Alice.
Chairperson, it appears we also missed another part in the matrix with reference to the temporary safe care definition. I mean, it's agreed to by the department as well to include a hospital or a medical facility before prison and police cell, if that can also be included. And then, Chairperson, you know, I think we just maybe need to think about how we are going to look at the matrix and those clauses that the department supported, because I assume we can't do a blanket acceptance of all the clauses that were proposed by stakeholders and accepted and supported by the department, but the matrix is very difficult to go through. I mean, we're missing quite a few things from the matrix, but that we can discuss later.
Chair,
I think we will discuss it later when we go back through to this clause that we have passed. We'll check if we can, as she says, we can agree with everything. We need to come up with something. But I'm saying, I'm supporting that we will check it when we go through it again, where we need here, we must put something. We will definitely give each other chance to do so and agree if we agree. Thank you.
Okay. I think what we need to do also is to read the definition and then go to matrix so that we don't do all what we have done right now. But I agree with the honorable members that are saying later on for clause 1, we can do that. Mr. Mjengwa, clause 2.
Thank you, Chair.
Chair, a member stock proposed the adoption of the clause 1 with the proposed amendments. Maybe there might be a seconder, or the committee can say we agree to. So, because I need to capture that.
Okay.
that the committee agreed to. Are you all agreed to?
Sorry, Chair, that's an O hand. Chair, I'm hesitant to second, especially since my one point that I've just mentioned about the hospital and medical facility has not been acknowledged to be included before we are.
We have said we will go back. The draft will come to us. We will correct all what we think is needed to be corrected. For now, we just agree and adopt as we are saying that with amendments.
Chair, can I also assist, try to assist in the process?
Lindy, over to you.
Okay. Maybe the legal advisor and the content and myself, can we also sit and try to look at the proposed amendments that the committee omit to discuss them in great length, and when the legal advisor present the A-list can also have maybe a separate document to say these were also the amendments that we propose and maybe the department agree or disagree on, and then to give the opportunity for the committee to discuss them, whether they want them to be incorporated in the A-list or not. So if we can have that exercise to ensure that we cover all the proposals. It can be in the next meeting when we start with the said out of clause one, these were amendments that were omitted during discussion. Mm. The member can just deliberate on them, agree, and then we move to the next clause, whatever clause we'll
which be in. Which we can do it in the next meeting, ne?
Yes, sure.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. And I also thought it can be like that. Do we agree, Honourable Members?
In that case, Chairperson, I support that we move on. I support the proposal.
Thank you very much, Alex. Alex has seconded, but we will go back as we have agreed and look at all what Lindy is saying. We must look at it. Thank you very much for clause one. Then can we go to clause two?
Chairperson, thank you. Sorry, I did not realize that I was muted. We are on clause two, Chair. At this point, Chairperson, I would request, as I'm reading clause two, that I remind members to also look at their matrix, which is in page 24 of the matrix. Our clause two starts from page 24 of the matrix. That's to read it in conjunction with what you are reading in the bill. So clause 2, Chairperson, reads as follows. It amends Section 6 of the Principal Act. It reads as follows. Section 6 of the Act is hereby amended by A, by the substitution subsection 2 for paragraph D of the following paragraph. D, protect the child from unfair discrimination of any ground. And B, by the substitution in subsection 2 for paragraph F of the following paragraph. F, recognize a child's disability and create an accessible and inclusive environment to respond to the special needs that the child has, full stop. So in clause two, in the matrix, Chair, so that's the clause two, Chair.
Can you flight the definition, please?
So clause two is what is flighted, Chair, the amendment of clause two. It is what is on the screen, Chair. So I was just reading now, in addition to what is on the screen, what the matrix says about clause two, Chair, for the members' ease of reference, in order to avoid what happened when we were doing clause one, where we missed some of the things that come out of the matrix. So the matrix is that in clause 2 of the matrix is in 24, page 24 of the matrix. In that the clause, the view from the public was that it must be there must be inclusion and inclusive programs from the that's the child center for child law and equal education. So these organizations have proposed a definition of inclusion as follows: a process that assists in the overcoming of all barriers which limits the presence and participation and achievement of all children, including but not limited to barriers experienced by children with disabilities, through which all children receive the necessary support to enable them to participate on an equal basis. It is also proposed that the definition of inclusive programs to be as follows: a program in which all children are supported so that they can optimally participate and benefit. So the definition as proposed by the two stakeholders has been supported by the department chair. And that there must be, the recommendation is that there must be an inclusion in line with that proposal from the stakeholders. So what is left, Chair, the next step now is for the committee to decide if it wants to go with that proposition. And then we would go back and craft such an amendment together with the colleagues from State Law Advisors Office as well as the Department of Social Development. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Gentleman. What are members saying on this one? Please, the methods have been read.
Yeah, the methods.
Honorable Masango. I can't hear you, Honorable Masango.
I said agreed.
Agreed. Alia?
Support the inclusion of the matrix, Chairperson.
Supported. The next one.
So the next one is clause 3, Chair. Clause 3 amends section 6, capital A of the Act. It reads as follows. Clause 3, the following section is hereby inserted in the principal Act after section 6. 6, capital A.
Before we go to clause 3, can't we suppose to adopt that one?
So you've agreed to clause 2, Chair, where you've said that it must be amended in line with the methods.
If we agreed, there's no need for saying we are adopting it after we've agreed.
Yes, Chair, so your position is that we must go and do the A list and then put it before you so that you can consider if it is in line with your wishes.
Okay.
Yes, so now we're on clause 3 now, Chair.
Can we
clause
fly?
3. Can you please fly the act again? Sorry, the bill. Hello? Yoli?
Hello, Nati. Oh, it's not showing.
No, it disappeared on the screen. Sorry.
Oh, sorry, because I'm also working on documents. I must have closed it. My apologies. Oh, now it's frozen. Can I open? Sorry, members. My icon is frozen. I can enlarge it. Oh, yeah.
Person, are we not needing a comfort break, Nyana?
I will agree to that. I think Mother Nature is saying.
Are we not needing a comfort break, Nyana, while they unfreeze the machine?
Okay, there we go. We need the comfort, even if it's for 3 minutes. Okay. 5 minutes.
Let's give you 5 minutes.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Chair.
Thank you.
Okay. Hi, Lindy.
Thank you, Chair.
Oh, I was launching them before the computer. I believe you are calling me. Is it fine?
I members are asking for comfort break for 5 minutes.
Okay, sure.
Come back.
Okay, no, it's fine. Thank you.
Recording stopped.
Honorable members, are you back? 5 minutes has up.
Hey, what's the word, Jahaka?
Oh. Hi, man, you are about to finish. See, I'm almost starting. Oh, they are back.
Hey, suicide.
Yeah, what's going on?
Okay. Thank you very much. Let's reconvene. Advocate, can you continue?
No, thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. We were in clause 3, Chair. So I'm going to ask Lindy to, sorry, Yoli, who's had to fly, to just move up a bit to reflect clause 3. Thank you. Thank you, Yoli.
Yeah, there is.
Yes, Chair. So this is a new insertion, Chair, which is why it has that capital A. It reads as follows. Insertion of 6 capital A or in the Act, clause 3 reads, the following section is hereby inserted in the Principal Act after section 6. It reads as follows. Children's rights to privacy and protection of personal information. 6A1. A child's right to privacy and the protection of personal information is subject to the Films and Publications Act of 1996, comma, the Protection of Personal Information Act of 2013, comma, the Promotion of Access to Information Act of 2010, the Criminal Procedure Act of 1977, or any other law protecting the privacy and protection of personal information of the child. So that is our clause 3, Chair. We will just have to double check some of the references to legislation there, because I seem to remember that the PIA is a 2000 act instead of a 2010 act. But we will double check all of that, Chair. Otherwise, that is clause 6. That is clause 3 inserting section 6A in the Principal Act. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. What a member.
Recording in progress.
Close 3 members.
I agree if they will check the right yes here.
Person
of PAIA.
Okay, Honorable Masango. Thanks, Honorable.
Chairperson, I do believe that there was quite some inputs from the organizations on this one. Because the matrix in terms of the sequence seems to go from all sorts of directions, I would like to be able to get back on this one as well, that we get that opportunity to get back to it, because for example there were issues on clause 3, 6A. The key issue raised in the submissions of by stakeholders mainly raised a concern that subsection 6A on its own, with proposed deletion of section 74, fails to protect children in children's court, which would result in the media being allowed to identify and publish photos of children in proceedings. This is just one of the, it's on page 102 of the matrix. This is just one of the sort of concerns that were raised by the organizations. And the DSD response on that one was that it is addressed in by insertion of clause 6A in the section 6 of the Principal Act. And I think the department supported the reinstatement of section 4, but I'm the reinstatement of section 74. But I don't think I am competent to propose anything other than to say, is it possible that the advocate can look at this particular matrix section and advise, please. Thank you.
I think as Honorable Masango has requested, let's flag on that one and then also read the matrix and what matrix is saying. And flag it, and we can come back to it. Do we agree, Mr. Zeman, on it?
No, thank you, Chair. We are agreeable, Chairperson, with the proposition of the committee. I just want to mention to the committee, Chair, that in the matrix, there is no discussion of clause 3. In fact, the matrix goes on to discuss clause 4. It appears as if that clause 3, Chair, the way it appears now, of course, we are going to still go to do our in-depth work on it as requested by the Honorable Member Masang. That clause 3, Chair, simply extends the right to privacy to existing statutes or existing law, existing legislation, saying that the rights of privacy of children are equal to those rights afforded to adults in terms of those laws which protect privacy of individuals, being the Film and Publications Act, protection for personal information, and so on and so on. But we will definitely go and prepare an advice on this for the next meeting of the committee, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you about that. Can we go to the next one, Mr. Mtungwane?
It is 4. It is clause 4, Chairperson, which is the amendment of section 7.
Sorry, yes, Nancy, before we go to the next one, can I just...
Okay, Lisa.
Can I just convey to the committee, I just checked now on my legal search engine, and Nati is correct. The Promotion of Access to Information Act is 2000, not 2010. So that's the technical issue with clause 3. The correct citation is Promotion of Access to Information Act 2000, not 2010.
Thanks, Lisa. May I do for that correction? It's the same with that one that was raised. Thank you very much. And then, okay, what are honorable members saying?
Excuse me, Chairperson, I just want to say something quickly. The advocate said that there was no input for clause 3, but I think all the provincial inputs were then put at the back of the matrix. So all the national inputs came first, and maybe there's no national input on clause 3, but there's definitely inputs on clause 3 from the provinces that further back into the matrix. So just to point that out.
So thanks very much, Madam.
Okay, thanks very much, Alice. Then they will also look at that one. Can we then go to clause 4?
Yes, thank you, Chair. In clause 4, which amends section 7 of the Act, it reads as follows. Section 7 of the Principal Act is hereby amended, A, by the deletion of the word end at the end of subsection 1M, B, by the substitution in subsection 1 for paragraph N of the following paragraph, N, which action or decision would avoid or minimize further legal or administrative proceedings in relation to the child. And C, by the insertion in subsection 1 after paragraph N of the following paragraph, O, any special needs that a child may have. Thank you, Chair. That's our clause 4. In terms of the matrix, there is a comment by Scalabrini that amendment seeks to make reference to any special needs that the child may have so as to create an additional set criteria. Wherever any provision in the Act requires the best interest of the child must be applied. So the organization Scalability recommends for the inclusion of a further provision in the section, which is section 7, stipulating that the best interest of the child standard is universally applicable to all children, regardless of nationality, and the needs of the child in terms of the determination in respect of unaccompanied or separated migrant children. The department's attitude towards that is that it supports this recommendation and that there is a need for a thorough assessment to be conducted so as to understand the support needs of a child and therefore provide appropriate support to a child. However, Chairperson, if you look right next to the department's response to this, that the department as the implementer of this legislation omits to propose how it thinks that the Scalabrini's comment can be accommodated in this legislation. So, Chair, I suppose that's probably a matter that the department is still conceptualizing in respect of that clause, Chair, as it has not proposed any manner of amending it. And they've said that they support it, but have not proposed a crafting of how they would want it to look like in the legislation as the department that's implementing the legislation. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. What are honourable members saying on this one?
Chairperson, this is Bridget.
Yes, Bridget.
I would also recommend, as the advocate is saying, that we don't make a decision until we see what the thorough assessment by the department entails on this one, because obviously we would like to ensure that the concerns of the stakeholders well considered by the committee, of course, are sort of considered by the department. So I agree with the advocate that we await the thorough assessment of the department that will be conducted until before we pronounce on this one. Thank you, Chair.
I agree with Honourable Masango.
Agreed. Thank you, Honourable Members. The next one. The next one is Mtengman.
Oh, sorry, Chair, I'm reading. I didn't realize I'd muted. My apologies. We are on clause 5, Chair, which amends section 8 of the Act. It reads as follows. Section 8 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the insertion after subsection 3 of the following subsection. 4. This Act applies to every child in the Republic of South Africa. Thank you, Chair. That's our clause 5. Essentially, this clause, Chair, extends the Act to apply to every child within the Republic.
Chairperson, it's Alexandria. I'd like to support that.
Excuse me, Chair. I agree.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know if Chair maybe is disconnected for us to move on.
I am in.
Oh, hello? Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. No, the two members have proposed that it must be, we must adopt it as such, Chair. There's no amendment.
Yes.
On. So we move on to clause 6.
Clause 6, Chair?
Yes, amending section 12 of the Act.
Okay.
It reads as follows, Chair. Section 12 of the Principal Act is hereby amended, A, by the substitution in subsection 2 for paragraph A of the following paragraph. A, below the minimum age set by law for a valid marriage, must not be given out in marriage or engagement. And B, by the substitution for subsection 3 of the following subsection. 3, genital mutilation of children is prohibited. Thank you, Chair. That's how I close six. And then in the matrix, Chair, quickly, Chair, in the matrix, clause six, the Women's Legal Center has made a comment. The organization being the Women's Legal Center recommends that the prince should explicitly state that the minimum allowable age for of a person to enter marriage is 18 years, regardless of their gender. And the department agrees with that, Chairperson. Once again, without maybe providing how Section 6 can accommodate that kind of agreement.
What are we saying, member? Gisela?
Chair, I'm agreeing with the Women's Legal Center, their recommendation that we must explicitly state the minimum allowable age to be 18 years.
Supported, Chair.
What needs to be the procedure, Mr. Tengan?
I just think that, Chair, we will just have to go and reconsider here so we can properly advise the committee. Because the issue of marriage, Chair, is provided for in a different piece of legislation and not the Children's Act. There's a Marriages Act that deals with issues of marriage, and it is administered by the Department of Social or for Home Affairs. So we would just, I would warn Chairperson legally that we should probably, as we are amending the Children's Act, be careful of a situation where we are amending this act and are in contravention of all other acts of parliament which have been passed dealing specifically with the issue of marriage. So I would ask that in this regard, Chair, we be allowed an opportunity to go and check that for consistency. It would have assisted if the department had said that it agrees with this view and that this is the position as it relates to marriages, for instance, in terms of customary law, religious marriages, as well as civil marriage, etc. Because it's quite a contentious issue, Chairperson, this issue of marriage and the age of the legal age of a person to marry.
Okay.
So we will have to just double check that and advise the committee with your indulgence, Chair. Thank you.
Yeah, because we've been going around looking for the advice, but we can continue checking exactly the right advice on this one. Okay, let's flag on and put it aside and we'll just come back to it.
Thank you.
The next one.
Thank you, Chairperson. So the next one will be clause 7. Clause 7 amends Section 13 of the Act. It reads as follows. Section 13 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution for subsection 2 of the following subsection. 2. Information provided to children in terms of this subsection must be relevant and must be in a format accessible to children, comma, giving due consideration to the needs of children with disabilities. Full stop. Thank you, Chair. That's clause 7. And there is no clause 7 in the matrix, Chair. Just from what I can see. Thank you.
Okay, honorable members, what are you saying? Honorable Bridget?
Yes, Chair, I would like to agree.
Seconded, Chair.
Agreed.
Clause 8.
Thank you, Chair. 1-8, amending, it's the amending of heading of Part 1 of Chapter 3 of the Act. It reads as follows. The following heading is hereby substituted for Part 1 of Chapter 3 of the Principal Act. And that heading is automatic acquisition of parental responsibilities and rights. It replaces acquisition and loss. Thank you, Chair. So the new addition there is an automatic acquisition. Thank you, Chair. The matrix is also silent on this one, Chair. Thanks.
Okay, the matrix is silent. What are honorable members saying on this one?
Bridget.
Bridget.
Agreed, Chair.
Agreed. Agreed, Chair. I see it's just a heading change. Agreed.
I'll second it.
One nine, Chair. Clause nine. Yes, Chair.
Okay,
we're amending Section 19 there in Clause 9. It reads as follows. Section 19 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution in Subsection 2 for Paragraph B of the following paragraph. B. The biological father of the child does not have guardianship in respect of the child in terms of Section 20 or 21. Thank you, Chair. That's Clause 9. The matrix is silent on it, too. Thank you.
Honorable member, what do we say on this one?
Good.
Richard?
I agree, Chair.
Agreed.
Thank you, Chair. We're in clause 10, amending section 21 of the Act. My apologies, Chair. Section 21. I'm a bit uncertain now, but that's. So we are amending section 21, Chair, on clause 10. 10 reads as follows. Section 21 of the Principal Act is hereby amended. A. By the substitution in subsection 1 for paragraph A of the following paragraph. A. If at the time of the child's conception, comma, or any time between the child's conception and birth, comma, the biological father is living with the biological mother. Or B. By the substitution in subsection 1 for paragraph B of the following paragraph. B. If he, comma, regardless of whether he has lived or is living with the biological mother. C. By the substitution in subsection 1B for paragraphs, Roman letter 2 of the following paragraph. Roman letter 2. Contribute or has attempted to contribute to the child's upbringing. And D. By the substitution in subsection 1B for paragraph, Roman letter 3 of the following subparagraph. Roman letter 3. Contributes or has attempted to contribute towards expenses in connection with the maintenance of the child. E. By the insertion after subsection 1 of the following subsection. 1, capital A, a new insertion. A family advocate may, comma, in the prescribed manner, comma, issue a certificate confirming that the biological father has automatically acquired full parental responsibilities and rights in terms of subsection 1A or 1B on application from A, the mother and biological father jointly, B, the biological father, comma, after reaching an agreement during the mediation process referred to in subsection 3, or C, the biological father if, Roman letter 1, in terms of subsection 3, comma, he referred the matter for mediation and the mother, comma, after receiving such notice of mediation, comma, and reasonably refused to attend the mediation. And two, the biological father has shown to the satisfaction of the family advocate that he has automatically acquired full parental responsibilities and rights in terms of subsection 1A or 1B. F, by the substitution in subsection 3 for paragraph A of the following paragraph. A. If there is a dispute between the biological father referred to in subsection 1 and the biological mother of the child with regard to the fulfillment by that father of the conditions set out in subsection 1A, or B, the matter must be referred for mediation to a family advocate, comma, social service practitioner, or other suitably qualified person as may be prescribed, and G, by the deletion of subsection 3B, first of all. Thank you, Chair. That's our clause 10. So we have a comment on clause 10, Chair, in the pages. Quickly, Chairperson, it reads as follows. Clause 10 speaks to A, amend section 21 by providing clarification regarding a father who is not married to the mother and who was living with her at any time between the child's conception or birth. He will automatically acquire parental responsibilities and rights in respect of that child. B. Further clarifies the circumstances under which the father may acquire full parental responsibilities and rights in respect of a child. C. Further amends section 21 by the insertion of subsection 1, capital A, in order to clarify that the family advocate may, in the prescribed manner, issue a certificate confirming that the biological father has automatically acquired full parental responsibilities and rights in respect of the child. D, it aligns the current terminology or definitions, i.e., the social service practitioner. And E, it further deletes subsection 3B, which provides that any party to the mediation may have the outcome of the mediation reviewed by a court. So that is the comment, Chair. And the SANCO, various other organizations seem to have commented on it, Chair, from page 27 all the way up to
okay. It's a long
There's been a lot of comments on it, Chair, which the department has agreed to. However, Chair, much as the other one, like the other ones before, where the department has agreed to the department has agreed to the public input, it hasn't provided as the implementer of the legislation and the sponsor of this legislation, of this bill, how such agreement is going to be better crafted in the legislation. We will engage them, Chair, to also provide some kind of crafting of how, which will include in the list of how they see this thing will be better crafted in order for it to be to reflect what the department wants as the implementer of the legislation. And then we will table it before the committee, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, I think I hear you clearly. Then can we then go to the next one if it is the case?
Yeah, we
yes,
agree. Sir.
Because we'll come back.
I'm saying we'll come back as they will go, Lindy, and advocate to check, and we'll go back to see what is the department saying. Thanks.
Okay. We'll get also the advice too. Okay. The next one.
Thank you, Chair. Clause 13, amending Section 23 of the Act. It reads as follows, Chair. Section 23 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution in subsection 1 for the words preceding paragraph A of the following words. Any person having an interest in the care, well-being or development of a child may apply to the High Court, comma, a regional court in divorce matters or the Children's Court for an order granting to the applicant, comma, on such condition as the court may deem necessary. And B, by the substitution for subsection 3 of the following subsection 3, when bringing an application contemplated in subsection 1, comma, the parties must inform the court of any other proceedings that are pending in any other court in respect of the child, and the court may A, request a family advocate, comma, social worker or psychologist to furnish it with a report and recommendation as to what is the best interest of the child, and B, suspend such application on any conditions it may determine. Thank you, Chair. That's our clause. That was clause 13, amending section 23.
And then the matrix.
I'm just going into the matrix to see. It says on the left. Bear with me, Chair. I'm trying to get there as quick as possible. Close it. When closed, fit in. Yes. Hi, Chair. My apologies, Chair. The matrix is not assisting. Is not assisting us in this regard. A bit confused.
Chairperson, where's the chair?
Chairperson, are you still around?
Yes, please find out for me.
I'm just checking here.
Hi, Chairperson. Chair.
Oh, my phone is.
Hello. Hello.
Hi, Chair.
Hi. Okay.
Chair. I don't know whether I'm bringing you back, ne? As I need to capture accurate minutes.
Okay.
I know close there, we said that they wait for the department, our legal advisor will meet the department for the crafting of the amendment.
Yeah,
I don't recall, yes, I don't recall for,
I got that one.
Yes, I don't recall for clause 11 whether there was a discussion or a member who agree and second the mover, the motion for to agree with clause 11. So it's blank. So was there any discussion of clause 11?
Yes. Let's get into that 11. Really, that's the one that I missed also. And I'm fine with it. And we can go back and find advices and check on 11. Then what I was saying, remember?
Chairperson, I would like 11 and 12. I didn't, I missed those two. The next thing I heard was 13.
We did 11, Chair, just to guide members. We did 11 and it was supported. Remember, it was said that it is just a heading that is being added. So which is the acquisition and loss of parental responsibilities and rights. So it doesn't insertion. Remember, I said no. It doesn't insertion. They support it, and then for clause 12, that's the one that we said has a lot of input from the public.
Okay.
The department seems to agree with the public, but omitted to provide the crafting that would suit their circumstances as implementers. So we said we would engage with them so that they can propose or sponsor a crafting that captures what they seem to agree with, so that we can include that in our ABs, which we will table before the committee. So we flagged that for discussion with the department. I remember one honorable member even said that Lindy and myself must then engage the department.
It's me, Chair. It's honorable member.
Okay.
Chair.
Okay.
Also, my comment was going to be on to assist the advocate on clause 13. It is on page 337, but the problem of the matrix, that is. But the problem is the hard copy matrix is not corresponding with the online matrix, because I know there were things that were added. I appreciate that. But just to say that there's that discrepancy as well. But you will find that on the page 337 of the online, of the electronic, that is, matrix is on page 337, where it refers to clause 13, and the amendment of section 23, it says you add to the proposed subsection 1 in the bill after the word and, C, in inverted comma, C, guardianship of the child if it is in the best interest of the child or something like that. But I was just assisting the advocate to say it is argued there, and DSD agreed with it.
Okay, Honorable Masango.
Thank you, Chair.
It means we agreed on this one, yeah? It's it. Can we move to the next
Thank you very much for that guidance, Honorable Chair and Honorable Masango. So We are now on clause 14. So in terms of that, I just want to record the committee's position in respect of clause 13. So in terms of that, we will just have to go back to the electronic matrix and capture what is there for the purposes of the A list. Is that the agreement, Chair?
Thank you, Chair.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. So in clause 14, Chair, which amends section 25, it reads as follows. The following section is hereby substituted for section 25 of the Principal Act 25, subject to section 45, subsection 4, comma, when an application is made in terms of section 24 by a non-South African citizen for guardianship of a child, comma, the application, comma, if heard in the High Court, comma, may be referred to a children's court having jurisdiction, comma, to be dealt with as if it was an application for an inter-country adoption for the purposes of the Hague Convention on Inter-Country Adoption and Chapter 16 of the Act, or in exceptional circumstances, comma, as if it was an application for guardianship. Thank you, Chair. That's the clause 14.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What are members saying? Bridget?
Jefferson, that is also on the same page 337 of the matrix, and I see that the department does not support this one, but I would like for us to look at it, please.
I support that we must look at it.
Let's note it and look at it.
Thank you, Chair. So we move on to clause 15, then, Chair, amending section 28. This clause reads as follows, Chair. Section 28 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution in subsection 1 of the words preceding paragraph A of the following words. A person referred to in subsection 3 may apply to the High Court, comma, a regional court in a divorce matter or a children's court for an order. Thank you, Chair. That's our clause 15.
Thank you. What members are free?
Jefferson, I would like to agree with clause 15 for section 28, but I would like to go back to clause 14 and say that, and maybe and generalize it, which is something I never do, that it looks like comments on the various clauses are all over the matrix. I don't know how we can find a way to reformat the matrix that it goes according to the amendments bill. Because, for example, there's another comment on page, I believe this is page 80 of the matrix about clause 14 from Scalabrini. So I don't know how we are going to make sure that we sort of close this gap where we might leave things out because they are not where we find other things about the same clause, for example. Because if you have one thing on page 337 and another thing on page 80 on the same section, there is a huge opportunity or potential for us to lose stuff here. I don't know what the chair would would propose on this one, whether it's possible on the Word document to just say everything that refers to Section 14, put it together. I don't know if it's possible at all, but I see a potential for us to lose stuff. Thanks, Chair. But I agree with clause 15. Thank you, Chair.
What is your advice, Ms. Mpuma?
Chair, I'm also not so sure, Chair. I think one of the things we could do, Chair, is maybe ask the colleagues from the department as persons who develop the matrix to assist that the matrix be linked to each section, Chair, for ease of reference. They would have the matrix in their disposal. I will have a conversation with my counterpart in the department, Mr. Mchochisa, and hear if he can assist us with that kind of thing. I believe he's also in the meeting, Chair, to assist the committee with that kind of work where he links the matrix to the commentary in the matrix to each section so that it can be easy to page directly, you know, in line with the sections of the bill. As members are deliberating. And I don't know how quickly it can be done, if it can be done at all, but my colleague, Mr. Mchochisa, is here, and I'm sure he can just maybe assist Chairperson with a comment in that regard, as a person who developed the matrix. Thank you, Chair.
Advocate Mchochisa, are you in?
Yes, I'm here.
The problem is
yes, I'm in, Honorable Chair. That will be done over the weekend, and then the committee will receive it. Thanks,
Chair. Okay, thank you for that advice.
In addition to that, as soon as we receive the updated matrix, Fungela will ensure that it's couriered to all members. It will be an updated one. The inputs or recommendations of submissions that were omitted will also be in that one document. So we'll try our level best to courier to you so that you've got the updated copy. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Lindsay. Your hand is up, Alex and Bridget. Can we give over to you?
No, mine is an old hand, Chair. Sorry.
Chairperson, may I proceed? Chairperson, in light of the fact that we've got 10 minutes left of this meeting until 1 o'clock, and also taking into consideration what Honorable Masanga has just suggested and what the advocate said, I would like to find out if it's been not so much worth our while, but you know what I mean, then proceeding if we are going to get an updated matrix, because I myself have found it extremely challenging. I'm sitting with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 points of reference, flipping and flopping between things. And just based on what we've discussed now, an updated matrix in terms of clause order, if it's going to be beneficial proceeding now for the last 10 minutes with this, or if we should rather resume when we do resume, which is during our leave period. And then Chairperson, just to make a big plea that must be in person. This has not been working. It's been extremely challenging. Some members have not been able to follow. I'm finding it difficult. So this has to continue in person, please, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you,
Alex. I hear you clearly. I think right now, really, because we have to read here and read that side and read. Let's rather request them read on the same and be able to match it so that it can be easy for us.
to read. Is it what you are proposing, Alex?
Yes, Chairperson, that we've got a few more minutes left, and in light of what we've discussed, I'm of the opinion that we should stop now and wait for that updated matrix.
Anyone against that? Seemingly, otherwise, push our level best. This one will await for the document that will be released and be updated from it. Thank you very much. Let's adjourn the meeting.
Thank you, Chairperson.
The meeting is formally adjourned. Thank you very much to everyone.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Please.